Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you give me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine your idea. You're prancing along, you get thirsty, you spot a little brook, you put your little dear lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! A bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred's here, Andy's here, Paul's here. Eric will be by later. And, is that funny?
Well, you could take that a number of ways.
Andy's already laughing. But anyway, Doc's
you're
in the booth.
Actually, the world could take it one way. Andy could take it.
And Eric can take it both ways. Hey.
Oh. It's Wednesday. That means it's media day. Bill Belichick finished up his press conference around 11:15 or so. Tom Brady talked today. There's phone conferences going on as we speak, so there'll be a lot of content going up on Patriots.com throughout the day. Make sure you check on it, link into it, listen, watch.
What's link on it mean?
Check it out.
Or is that a miss?
I don't know. That's okay. Whatever.
So, click on a lot of stuff.
The point is, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're getting ready for the Bills, which, according to Bill Belichick, they've been playing the best football of the season of late.
I can't also, save for the New Orleans Saints, played the best football against the Patriots this season of any team. And obviously, we know they needed a flurry late in the game, a couple Ben Watson touchdowns and Brady coming on to win that game. But I thought that was an interesting statement that he made.
Yeah.
I also thought it was interesting that just raved. In our preview, we kind of wrote that the Bills can do a lot of things okay. He kind of took that and took it to the next level and said they have some of the most talented playmakers, skill position players in football that this team will face. He's reaching a little bit, though, when he starts referencing big play touchdowns that were called back due to penalty as kind of an example of what
balls
they can do. But, you know, he did his usual Wednesday best to puff up the opponent.
Well, you know, when
funny.
When you look at it, you know, Lee Evans and Terrell Owens, you know, they've got Lynch and Fred Jackson, you know, pretty good running backs. The deficiency there, obviously, is the quarterback, and that's kind of what's holding them back a little bit.
Well, and they have absolutely no offensive
line. Well, I was just going to say.
No offensive. And I think Evans and Owens are better ideas than they are implementations.
Because they don't have any of the other things that you need to get to make those guys dangerous.
But I was just going to say, you know, he mentioned the skill players. What he left out was the trenches, and that's really even Schobel hasn't been getting to the quarterback like he has in the past. They haven't gotten much of a pass rush, and you know the offensive line has been hurt and hasn't been doing as well either. And that's where
they had a young suspect offensive line, and then they all got hurt.
Right.
Our guy's there, Kendall Simmons.
They lost Eric Wood. They lost Demetrius Bell. So Andy pointed out that former Patriot Kendall Simmons been starting at right guard. They're certainly not a very good offensive line. And I think the point that, you know, Andy and I were trying to make the point that Buffalo does have one of those offenses that you can take this away and they can still do this, or you could take that away and they could still do that. But they don't do any of those things overly well.
If they were good, they'd be scary.
Right. Well, that's
the way they're built.
That's a great idea.
They'd be scary.
They're the kind of offense, the way that they're balanced offensively, that can do damage, but they don't do anything well enough to score enough points generally to win. And, you know, Bill mentioned that defensively, they've allowed fewer than 20 points four games in a row. Well, they're 2-2 in those four games. That tells you that they don't have the offense to make that scary.
That slew of skilled playmakers and scary offensive threats isn't exactly getting it done.
You know,
part of the reason is Ryan Fitzpatrick, for everybody who wants to fluff him up, you know, he's gotten the ball to T.O. and he's 2-2, whatever. If you look at his numbers, he's horrendous.
KT, can't throw.
So,
KR, can he run?
Yes, he can run. He can run.
And he's got to be a cerebral player coming from Harvard.
But it was funny to listen to Bill talk about how, and I know that the numbers suggest this, but how he's able to get the ball downfield when all of the sort of analysis of Buffalo is Ryan Fitzpatrick, the one thing he lacks that Edwards had was the arm to get the ball downfield. But yet Owens, I think what Andy has made this point many times, I think what Fitzpatrick has done with Owens is smart in that he's just throwing it to him. And he's saying, my guy's going to make a play once in a while. And that's how they've been able to succeed, because Owens' production has risen dramatically since Fitzpatrick went in, and that's not because of arm strength.
Is it also the new coach?
A little bit, yeah, because they kind of coincided.
Right. So
it's been four games since the coach was there and Fitzpatrick has started.
Right.
Not by injury. He started, I think, earlier in the season for injury. Edwards is healthy now, and Fitzpatrick is their guy.
Right.
Which, that's another part of the problem, is they don't have even a quarterback of the future, because Fitzpatrick is a backup.
So we're going to talk about Buffalo today and tomorrow. What else do we have? What did Tom Brady have to say today?
Eric was in on Tom Brady, so I'm not exactly sure what he had to say.
We have to wait till 1:45 to talk to Eric?
I didn't mean to disgust you, but yeah.
Okay.
Tom Brady did have a something, almost like an Ace bandage colored tape wrap on his finger.
The ring finger?
Yes.
On his throwing hand?
Yes.
Okay.
We saw that as he walked through the locker room. And just another side note in terms of all the stories of the week, I did not see Randy Moss, Paul. Did you? He ran out right as we went through. But, I mean, that's the only time he was there. And he usually lingers in the locker room on an average day in an average week.
Yeah, he doesn't talk, but he's almost always around.
Yeah.
Wasn't around today. He was there.
Beat feet.
And then he went into the weight room right around the time that we were all allowed in.
Did Brady talk at the podium or his locker?
Podium.
Podium, again.
He could have had the locker this week because Moss wasn't anywhere near.
Yeah, that's sort of been a little pattern now. The last few weeks now it's been back into the media workroom.
And Dirty Show Player of the Week, a guy who was unseated by James Sanders, Brandon McGowan, your Dirty Show Player of the Week.
Okay.
Has the belt hanging in his locker. So apparently while he didn't play this week, he did a nice job.
Did a nice job.
On the practice fields.
So that's good. That's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. He didn't go in the tank.
Right.
Right.
Because
he learned from the guy he, you know, is sharing the job with. James Sanders was a professional during his, what did I say, Paul, 13 weeks out of action.
Right. And, you know, Bill had said, you know, and Sanders said to you after the game that Bill and the coaches had told him about it early in the week.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously McGowan knew he wasn't going to start. Probably had to know he wasn't going to have a huge role in the game, but yet he went out and had a strong week of practice. That's a good thing.
All right. Weather for Buffalo at this moment for Sunday in Orchard Park looks like it should be around low 30s with about a 30% chance of snow.
Yeah, snow showers.
Winds should be around 10 miles an hour, but anything can change between now and then in Buffalo. I mean, we've seen no snow forecast in a virtual blizzard an hour before the game. So I'll never forget that day.
Lake effect.
Yep. So, but that's what it's saying right now, and we'll see. But either way, I think the ground game will have to continue to be a factor in this game. It'll have to be run first, and I think
The ground defense is
without a doubt.
But I mean, Vince Wilfork left the game.
Right. And
there's
Horn.
Some uncertainty.
Yeah.
But Paul makes fun of me because anytime another team. We expect him to run the ball. I generally go, Wilfork and Mayo will take care of that. Well, if Wilfork's not out there, I feel significantly worse about this run defense.
Well, yeah. I mean, he makes it good. He's the
he's the linchpin of that run defense. So we'll see what happens with him.
Ty Warren also spoke in the locker room today.
Means he'll be back.
Yeah. Well,
he looked fine.
That's why I bring it up. And he passed the Andy Paul eyeball test.
Okay. So we'll see about that. But what I was going to say about the Patriots running game, I really think, barring, you know, bad weather, that, you know, with the focus on the running game can only help Brady. Because, right. you know, if the other team knows that the Patriots are serious about it, they'll have to suck up. And, you know, that's when you're going to see the genius of Tom Brady. That's when he can, you know, now take advantage of that, audible at the line when he sees something that they're going to do. And, you know, so just because the Patriots might go into this game focusing on the run doesn't mean Brady can't throw for 300 yards, barring bad weather.
And it doesn't mean you can't pull Randy Moss out of whatever he's in right now by hitting two big plays.
Even more so, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. Some change in the line of scrimmage or play action, whatever.
Right.
There could be an opportunity. Now, you don't know, because you don't know how other teams might say, run it all you want. I'm right. not letting Moss and Welker beat me.
Right.
They might stay back. They might not get sucked up. But
right. And then we'll have to have red zone offense.
Right.
Right.
Which is kind of probably how I would go.
Yeah.
Until you prove to me that, yes, you can drive 90 yards and then finish it
right.
in the red zone every time,
right.
I'll take my chances
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, because kicking field goals in Buffalo is no sure thing.
No.
You know.
I also heard a report that Stephen Gostkowski had a baby this week. Well, you know, not Stephen Gostkowski, his wife. But
oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't even know if he was married.
I didn't really either. And I don't even know if it's true. It's just a report out of the locker room.
Sure it's not Brady's baby?
No, he had a baby. We know that. We don't know its name, because God forbid they name it 10 days
Has
later.
Has Brady announced the name yet?
No.
Do we know?
And apparently he kind of, the what first we, question in the press conference was about the baby, and he talked in generalizations and kind of.
What are we waiting for in this baby
Why
name?
Don't you ask him?
Is this,
It's yeah. irritating.
You find it irritating?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else names their baby. Why don't you have to? Why are you special?
Yeah. So,
you know,
I guess it's
other than you're Tom Brady, why are you special?
No, but I mean,
other than your wife's a
supermodel,
why are you special?
The one thing you don't want, as a parent is to have your kid be special at, you know, have any attention
right.
put on your kid.
All these, you know, celebrities don't want their kids to be treated differently, but they're treating it differently.
Right.
So,
and I have a personal
pet
peeve about these odd names, the exotic names.
Well, you don't know it's odd.
No, I know. I'm
His first
saying.
One was very normal. I mean,
no.
Thomas Jack,
yeah,
Jack
no,
Thomas,
that's fine.
Whatever.
But some
Thomas
of these Jack, parents, William, they name their kid as if the kid's going to be 3 years old for the rest of their life.
Boo-boo?
You know, crap like that.
It's John Edward Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Fine.
But, I mean, those are all like
fine.
As
but, you know,
as
when
you get.
Oak Tree and, you know, Paper
Boo-boo
Cut.
Tinkums.
You know, whatever they call it. It's just
Surrey,
ridiculous.
It's like
Apple.
Tom Cruise's Surrey. I think Gwyneth Paltrow has Apple.
There was definitely an Apple.
Yeah, Apple.
There's
okay,
some really
so
strange.
I'm a 40-year-old guy. At an, now, you know,
now I'm Big Apple.
Yeah.
Right.
What? You know?
Yeah, I agree with you, Freddie. There's a lot of
these
there's a lot of solid names.
And there can be a fine line.
Yeah, I mean,
and my wife wanted to be a little different. She didn't want traditional, so that's we have different names, but at least they
Jackson
were names.
Jackson and Sydney are names.
They're names. They're just
names.
Lower down the list yeah, than Michael right. and Josh and whatever.
Yeah, I was going to point out I'm a little bit more traditional and I have very traditional names, but there are a lot of names
right.
that aren't Apple.
Right.
You know, that are actual
but
names.
These parents, they just think that the world revolves around their stupid kid.
Oh.
You know?
Don't blame it on the kid.
No, I'm blaming
yeah.
it on the parents.
You call them stupid.
Well, in my mind, their kid's stupid as long as you think that the world revolves around him or her, and then you put the bumper sticker, my kid is in the honor roll. Who cares?
I like the ones that say, my kid kicked your honor student's ass or whatever.
Well, that's, you know, what are you doing? Why do you need to put that on your bumper sticker?
I don't know. I'm opposed to bumper stickers in general.
I am too.
Because they ruin your car. Like they
ruin the value of your car.
But they also, like, they start to peel and then they
right.
look crappy. And
I told my kid when I was coaching him in lacrosse, I said, Connor, I said, it's not that I don't like adults. I just hate parents. That's my take on it.
You hate everyone.
No, I said I like adults.
Who's
I just don't like parents.
Who's the one in this reputation? Who, on this
oh,
show
he deserves
reputation.
It too, though. He was very angry yesterday because someone had
and
a
everything.
Panda bear tied to a wreath tied to the front of their car.
Well, did you
in
see that? It looked like some type of torture.
It was ridiculous. And I said to him, I love panda bears more than anyone. You guys made fun of me because in San Diego I had to see them. But what does a panda bear have to do with Christmas? Why is it tied to a Christmas wreath? What?
Right. On somebody's grill.
There's not even a panda bear Christmas special.
No.
There's nothing.
No. It was kind of odd.
If you're listening, take offense.
So now,
as long as we're on a tangent,
I think we've just earned the emails about what about football,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say, as long as we're on a tangent, I have a question for you guys.
When I was 14,
AP came out with their athlete of the decade.
Yeah.
Today, now Tiger Woods won it. I'm sure you heard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You must have heard this. Second place was
now, is
Lance
this for golf or his other athletic endeavors?
Wow. Yeah. Second place was Lance Armstrong. Third place was Roger Federer. Now I have a question. Did it have to be an individual sport?
Well, I was
like,
just
Peyton
say,
Manning and Tom Brady don't deserve to be in the top three?
Well, no, I don't think
neither
they,
one of them.
I don't think
but
it had
maybe
to be
because
but the
they
put more weight on it.
Counter, you know, they knock each other off. They can't decide who even the best quarterback is, so they kind of eliminate each other from the greatest athlete.
I'm wondering what you guys.
I think that's the reason. Those guys in their sports set themselves apart, whereas Manning and Brady might knock themselves out because they couldn't even.
And you could say they're on a team sport, they had help.
Right, but even beyond that, I'm saying if one of them existed, maybe they'd be in because there's only one of them, but because there's two, they cross each other out.
It could be.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Now, I don't think it's, you know.
One listen, would argue, are we going to remove people that use performance-enhancing drugs and maybe, you know, then allow Brady
well,
and Manning to
then
be
there's,
in?
Then there's no list.
No, Brady's
then there's
not.
No list. But
he had one workout.
Right. He was on speed dial. Anyway, the I was just kind of bringing up the topic of
it's just
it
easier.
Didn't have to be an individual sport.
Don't you think it's
you
easier?
Think
he won 700 straight tournaments.
Well,
I
think it's a little of that, even though this wasn't Sports Illustrated, it's a little of that Sports Illustrated. No, I'm going outside the box.
Right.
I'm going to give the cyclist and the tennis player. Oh. You know, Tiger's a fairly obvious one.
If we're going to stick with just the rules of outside the box, where's what's his name? The swimmer.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, good point.
Right. Now, I would argue with Federer and Fred and I, you know, I know
although
you don't care
Phelps
about.
Although Phelps did it in just one Olympics, Federer did it over a decade.
But he had two good Olympics.
He did, but it's,
he had one supernatural.
Yeah, so
right.
Olympics. 4 weeks out of the whole 10 years.
Oh, that's.
Well, but
he also did well in all the other swimming meets that no one cares about, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he dominated the level of his sport for the extended time. We all watched for a 2 week span.
He has an unbelievable knack of saying yes, exactly, whatever. And
I mean,
you have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't know anything about it, but I'm assuming he competed in meets all along the way. He didn't just show up to the
Olympics. You have to qualify.
Right. There's national championships, international.
Right.
No one cares except for the Olympics, but.
But you're only playing against the best in the world or in his swimming.
See, with Federer, though.
Twice, once every 4 years.
No, I'm assuming the best show up.
That's not true.
But it's not
like. If you're a world champion.
It's not like tennis.
It's happening, but no one cares.
It's not like tennis where you're playing against the best almost every week.
But you compete against the clock as well.
Right,
right.
And he has the world record.
And I think you are competing against the best
so
when there's competition.
So then Usain Bolt should get it.
What?
I don't know what he did earlier in the decade. I know what Michael Phelps did earlier in the decade.
Basically, they did the same things.
But my question, about the individual thing is, you know, like Roger Federer, who is, I would say, the greatest tennis player, but Nadal is awfully close.
Right.
He's in the discussion. So the whole canceling out Manning Brady.
But he's beaten him a lot, right?
Nadal's beaten Federer a lot.
And Federer hasn't beaten Nadal a lot?
Right.
Oh.
Head to head.
Well, I thought over the last few years, Nadal started beating Federer.
The last half of the decade, I would say. He's dominated Federer.
Oh, wow.
I would
why
think
aren't
you'd know
you
that
saying
as
something,
as,
Fred. You're Mr. Tennis.
As Mr. Tennis, I would think you'd be.
That's
why
I said. I thought it was just over the last
few
years.
Oh, wait. Is that another sport you've dropped?
It has been, but that's. I mean, when you're talking about a decade, a few years is half the decade.
Right. Okay.
I just thought it was interesting that it was all individual sports guys that were nominated.
Who did this
no teams
list
with
again?
AP. AP Sport. I mean, you can't get any more unaffiliated news organizations.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Pleasant's been very objective when it comes
to this. So is Al Pacino.
Anthony,
what about your defense?
All right.
Anyway, we should probably get back to the Bills.
Yeah. So,
did you see Roy Williams guaranteeing a win against the Saints? If we pack our bags and show up Saturday night, we'll win.
I wonder if he's going to intentionally forget something in his bag.
He also said, this is the first time we'll meet him. We'll meet him again in the dome in the playoffs.
Wow.
Pretty big words from a guy who, A, does nothing.
What's he
on
got,
a team that,
catches?
B, does nothing.
On a team that, you know, even if I, you know, was cocky about myself, how can you be cocky about the rest of your team
right.
If you're on the Cowboys.
Maybe it's,
you never know when Tony Romo's going to blow it for you.
Maybe he's trying to do something. Maybe he's trying to, you know, write a check that his team has to cash kind of later.
Crazy.
Recover or whatever he's
doing. Jeez, I overestimated. 36 catches for 578 yards. 16.1 yard average, pretty good. Six touchdowns, not bad. But 36 catches, I mean, that's not a very high total for a guy who's popping off like that.
Yeah. Interesting. I'll love to see it because I want New Orleans to lose, but...
He also used a Denny Green line at some point in the quotes and just crown their ass. If 13-0, just crown their ass.
If the Colts and the Saints go undefeated and meet in the Super Bowl, who would you root for?
Who would I root for?
That's a great question.
Saints.
I think I would root for the Saints, for the new team that hadn't won it yet.
Yeah. I kind of like Breeze. I kind of like Peyton.
I do. I like a lot of – I mean, I hate Polian, so that would be my deciding factor. I would root against Polian.
Oh, I don't hate Polian.
I do.
Believe it or not, I would root for the Colts.
Why?
Because I said the Saints.
No.
And you just have to be opposite.
Because you like large penises.
What?
Oh, jeez.
Now, that's just terrible.
Eric's not even here.
No, I for some reason I just don't think that the Saints deserve to come out of nowhere and have this record. And
well, they've been building towards it.
I don't like how excited. I don't
title,
like.
I
don't.
Mean, a couple years
is,
ago.
I don't
this
like.
Is,
I don't
this is
like.
Great. I know what he's going to say. This is great.
I don't like how excited their fans were after they beat us.
How about before?
Even before.
You know when they were tailgating at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
So then you hate the 2001 Patriots.
Why?
Exactly.
Because the Saints are the 2001 Patriots. But I would say less out of nowhere since they went to the NFC title game.
I know, but the Patriots are my team.
Whatever it was. I know. Which just shows you're such a walking contradiction. And
I have, it's not a contradiction. I'm very consistent.
Yeah, I'm for the Patriots and against all that isn't.
Exactly.
Even if you are one of the great Patriots and suddenly leave.
But if you were truly being really consistent,
right,
and the Patriots are your team, you'd be rooting against the Colts. If the Colts are a Patriots rival, you're rooting against them.
True.
So you're a contradiction.
No, but this goes beyond that. This goes to a record, you know, but a
someone's
going to
get the record.
I know.
Under your scenario, someone's going
to get
the record.
Someone's
and you'd rather have it be the Patriots' arch rival. I don't know.
Yeah, good call there.
Makes a lot of sense.
Well, more importantly, did Randy Moss quit on his team on Sunday?
I already said he did.
On his TV show, but I want you to say it here.
On his TV show?
On our TV show.
Randy Moss has a TV show?
Maybe. Straight cash, homie. Yeah.
I wanted to get you on the record on this air that Randy Moss quit on his team.
Bank robber surrenders in Massachusetts.
That?
Where was this?
Yeah.
Anyone? I mean, Bueller, please? Hey.
I mean, look.
But to me, the difference is I think he's done what he did on the field in the past. I don't think he's made such a show of it on the sideline.
Look, I'm all for his quarterback and his coach and his teammates sticking up for him. I think there's something noble about teammates through thick and thin.
They did the right thing.
Never
Absolutely.
Calling out
it's
your
what
teammate.
Bill says.
I'm not
I did what's
coach.
The best interest of my team. The best interest of my team is Randy Moss showing up and playing.
Right. I'm all for that. Having said that, I think that he quit. You know, Randy, you did wrong by us, but we love you. Come back.
Which is what Fred said into the camera when he figured out which one was on
it. We need you. Yeah. We need you to win.
But do we love you?
I love him. I think he's great.
Until they don't love him anymore.
Again.
Do they need him to win?
Win what?
Against anyone but Carolina and a few other teams, yes, they need him to win. On this,
anything that matters in the month of January, and I'll include the Houston game in the month of January, they need him.
They need him to win. And, you know, but we knew
we've been saying.
I agree.
All they are is Moss and Welker. If they lose Moss, then they're just Welker.
I can't argue.
And as
with
Bob Pruitt says, then you just get first downs, no touchdowns.
Well, and I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think you saw it again on Sunday.
We knew who Randy was when we got him. I mean, there's no doubt about what he's
Bob
done.
Bob Ryan wrote.
But I was a little surprised that
you knew I was a snake when you picked me up.
Right. Yeah. I was a little surprised that this is what's happened over the last month is what set him off. I can't see it being that bad.
That's the thing.
Well,
that's
what's so bad about
that's
it?
The thing that is somewhat surprising. Not surprising is probably not the right word, but somewhat strange in that things have gone. Everybody says that he's a competitor. He wants to win. And when he's in that environment, he's fine. Well, he's in that environment, and for some reason, it's not fine. I don't know what the reason is.
Well, I'll tell you the reason. He's an emotional, immature person.
No, but what
but
is
we
the,
knew
but
that.
What's the
but
what
but
was
we,
the,
we assumed we knew
what was the
what
psychological
from,
what was the psychological breaking point? What was it?
I don't know.
Well,
but I think that's what
we
makes
don't know
him
what it is.
I think that's what makes him an emotional, fragile, immature
I
person.
I think it was the whole Jets thing.
I think everybody else tried to paint him as X, Y, and Z would keep that from showing up. But you don't know. You're dealing with an emotional, immature, fragile individual.
I totally agree with you. I think you're right on. My question is just that we all wondered, you know, like in Oakland, they had nobody to get him the ball. And he was, you know, he was frustrated because the team was terrible and he couldn't do his thing. What is the thing? What is that button that got pushed here that is forced to
I'm not sure he could touch
I think his play started.
I think all of a sudden he just goes, you know, I'm not happy. Something
well, yeah,
struck
I know,
me.
But I think his play started to diminish. I think Brady might have gotten on him in practice a month ago.
And we should mention that again from yesterday that Andy said, you know, when we were reading on Pat's fans, and they pointed out something that Michael Holly had mentioned.
Right.
That Michael Holly said Brady called out Moss on the practice field about a month ago, and things haven't been. And that
and
would
things
certainly
haven't been right since.
That would certainly work with the timeline because it's been a month of this, not a day, not a week of this. It's been a month of this,
and it's snowballed since. And you know, for us, it's like a big deal, but for him, this is the kind of stuff. This is a big deal for him for whatever reason. We can't say that it shouldn't be because it is. Now they need to mend the fence. I think they can because I think this team genuinely does respect him. Appreciate him. I think they all like him as a person, and I think I am very confident that they're going to get this all straightened out.
Very confident.
Very confident that they're going to get straightened.
I am not.
And by the way, I think Randy respects Tom Brady, and I think he respects Bill Belichick.
I do. I think
you know. And I think this is a family squabble right now, and I think they'll work it out. You know,
I think
this is about a lot more than effort with Randy Moss. That's my personal viewpoint.
For him, you mean?
Yeah, for him personally?
Yeah. Oh no, I think he's.
I don't think he's capable of dominating on the consistent level that he did in 07 and in parts of 08.
Oh. So you're talking about as far as on the field, this is.
I think that's part of the frustration.
And he's trying to hide that,
yes,
right?
I think it's part of the frustration.
Yeah,
because I think he does. I think you're absolutely right. I think he does respect Belichick and he does respect Brady. And I don't just mean that in words and fluff coach speak. I think he genuinely respects those guys a lot. So I don't
not
think
Brady, Tommy.
Yeah, and I don't think it can have this can all be because Tommy called him out on the practice field. I think he's frustrated because he's not the guy, and it doesn't mean he's a stiff now. He's still, as has been pointed out numerous times over the last week, he's still over 1,000 yards receiving. He was still leading the league going into this past game. He's still a very good player. I just don't think he's a great player anymore.
And that's where I get back to what I said yesterday. You know, I'm Bill Belichick, and I'm saying, look, Randy, even when things aren't going bad for you as far as stats and catching the ball, you were on the field more than any other skill position against Carolina, and we won the game. You know, even despite what happened, you contributed to that win. You were on the field more than any other skill position player, and we won. So that means something.
Okay.
But does he feel like we won or you won?
Right. That's what we need to work out with Randy.
I think he needs the we to be him.
Right. No, I know.
In the spotlight.
But, you know, I have to, and I go back to him and I say, you are us, and we are you, and we are all together.
Tonight,
the hell are we talking about?
You know?
Well, if it doesn't happen in Buffalo, you know, this is the team that he's dominated unlike any other. The Buffalo
and
Bills.
And T.O.'s there.
You know, T.O.
The whole 90, you know, the real number, original number 91,
yeah, the real,
81.
The real 81. What's he, a BYU wide receiver?
What am I, a Melling?
So, and I got to tell you, I'm not expecting a big game from Randy Moss on Sunday.
I don't know if we'll know what the reason for it is. It's cold.
Well,
it's windy,
we'll know from his attitude. We'll know.
Yeah, as long as he's not sulking on the sideline, but it doesn't have the impact unless he catches two touchdowns and goes for a buck 40.
Well, my point is a lot of people, I think, are anticipating Brady getting him the ball early on short passes to appease him. I don't think that's going to happen. First of all, I don't think that's Randy's game. Catching short passes as a way to be appeased.
They've done it, and I don't like it.
It's been his game at various times.
And I secondly don't think that would be an indication that he is back.
No, we'll see.
I mean, I think what we're talking about is him consistently making plays down the field. You know, I'm not talking about bombs. I'm talking about, 15, 17-yard outs for first downs on third and 10.
Make it look easy
again. A 35-yard deep slant down the middle, for – big plays, and if he catches a 58-yard touchdown, all the better. But that to me is what Randy Moss is about. Not, eight or nine catches for 65 yards.
Wow. Larry the Drug
Brandon
says
Moss only has 85 catches.
He had 21 on Sunday.
And Brian Arakpo, by the way, see his defensive player of the week after he had four sacks, but he's got 11.5 on the season.
Yeah.
As one of those guys who wasn't 6'4", 4'6", 40.
Yeah.
Didn't fit. Everett Brown isn't getting it done necessarily, but Brian Arakpo is as an
Larry
linebacker.
The Drug says, great, I tune in for some serious football action. I get baby names, bumper stickers, and Andy's love of pandas. Never mind the team. The whole organization has gone soft. I'm waiting for the day one of you cries on the air. A loss this weekend may just do it.
I almost cried in the press box when Sanders dropped his interception.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's third in the league, Brandon Marshall.
I just think it's funny he had 25% of his catches. And
Reggie Wayne has 87.
One game.
Brandon Marshall has 86.
John in Clearwater says, I just tuned in, and I'm glad I didn't miss anything. Now get to some football.
We are. We're talking about Randy Moss, the topic of the team.
Doesn't take long.
No.
You know, we're very impatient. You know, we have 2 hours, but, you know, God forbid we don't start breaking down, you know, the special teams of the Buffalo Bills in the first 10 minutes.
Bobby April's unit.
Yeah? How does that compare to Geno's?
It's where it's supposed to be, not on his hip.
Okay.
Hello!
Hello there.
All right, let's see. A lot of people are...
not happy that we opened the show with irrelevant banter.
Quadwo, I hope I'm pronouncing your first name correctly.
Quadwo.
He says, stop this Moss bashing. I've watched the game and my eyes were on Moss the whole time. He did not quit. Listen to what Hodge said about Moss after watching Coach's film. I guess Merrill Hodge has that. Can you play that?
Now Patriots fans are aligning themselves
hey,
with
Doc,
Merrill Hodge.
There's a link on Quadwo's email.
Quadwo. Is your jaw still numb? Is your tongue? Quadwo.
Let's see. I guess let me see if I can get this going here.
What, are you going to play it through your microphone?
I'm working on it. Hang on.
Yeah, let him do it.
No, it's not a... It's let's see. Mike Reese writes, when ESPN analyst Merrill Hodge first began watching coaches tape of the Patriots' 20-10 win over the Panthers, he anticipated that he would see a lackluster effort from Randy Moss. He didn't. Now, after a few days in which Moss has been blasted by critics, Hodge is stepping forward to defend him. I didn't see one play where he was sitting around, quit, or was useless. If you're going to use the words useless and quit, I need to see some stronger evidence than words that came out of a losing locker room, Hodge said. I looked at the tape based on the things I had heard. I expected to see the dog days of Randy Moss, but there was nothing of the sort. He played his tail off. This one was wrong. He needed a voice. I was a player, and if I went in to watch tape of myself, saw what I saw, and then read the things that were out there, I would be so furious and upset, asking, are you kidding me? Hodge made the point that TV copy of games never tell the truth. When you get caught up watching TV, you might think you know things, he said. But when you put on the coach's tape, that's the real story. Well,
with all due respect, that's one of the most asinine explanations I've ever heard.
Well, I think it's great, but he doesn't give any specifics.
If you can sit there and honestly tell me you didn't see a play in that game that you thought he quit on, and you include that slant pass that he reached out his arms and then pulled him back in before the ball got there, and that's not quitting, you're just lying to yourself. That's a ridiculously stupid, asinine explanation for a guy who's made his living just trying to be the contrarian.
Right.
You know,
and Andy brings up a great point. Merrill Hodge is the guy who's anti-patriot for everything, and we kill. Now all of a sudden we're going to use him to back up our points.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
And I still maintain, sure, the individual plays, I bet you I could find all along his career here. But to me, the biggest issue was sitting on the bench with his helmet on, and then when Tom Brady's talking to him, looking past him into the distance. I mean, that was, to me, as telling as anything on the field that there's an issue here. It's right in front of your face, and he wants it to be an issue because he's sitting there for all the world to see, Randy sulking on the bench.
Why do you think that Tom suddenly decided, midway through the third quarter, just stop throwing the ball to him?
Right. No, I mean, look, we know what we saw.
Right.
You know? Again, but I think they're going to work it out. You know, I think that's Randy.
Because it wasn't like he wasn't open.
No.
He was open.
What we've seen all the Randys. These are all Randy. We've seen Randy at his best, and this is Randy at his worst. But they're all Randy. It's Randy being Randy.
It's the whole package.
It's the whole package.
And that's what you sign up for.
Right.
And listen, if you ask me, would I be willing to do it again?
Absolutely.
Sure.
I'd get him in a heartbeat.
Now,
it hasn't been that bad.
No, it hasn't.
You also have to sit there and say, and I think the next three games will really answer this, at what point do you pull the plug? And if there's a continuation of what's happened the last month, over the last 3 weeks, that's the time to pull the plug. Not next year. Well, not after his contract's up.
I think this is. It's come to a head. Randy decided to make his public stand in this game. You work it out this week. If you can't work it out this week, now we got a little bit more of a problem.
Right.
But I am confident that they are going to work. The family's going to get together. We're going to have a meal, and we're going to work this out.
I wish I had your confidence.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, not with him.
I do. You know, now, will it happen again in the future? Maybe. But for the near future, it'll be worked out.
I think you go into the next two games, and you can't rely on him at all. Now, I think there's a flicker of hope for that Houston game in a nice indoor stadium. But I don't rely on him for anything over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be all Welker all the time.
I'm in between the two of you. I think there's a chance, but I wouldn't want to stake anything on it like Fred seems willing to.
Of course there's a chance. The guy is great. I mean, he could suddenly look in the mirror
and say, think he's unpredictable.
You could say, hell, I'm Randy Moss.
Right. That's what I mean.
You always run that risk.
You never know when that guy's going to show up. You never know when he's going to go back home again either. But
I'm just going on track record in cold weather.
Right.
Has not been kind to him.
But you got to. I mean, I don't know the specifics. Has he ever been this pissed off and wanted to prove something in a cold weather game against a team he's had a lot of success? Who knows? Who knows what the crossroads is this week?
It'll be interesting. We have.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, we have reason.
Yeah.
We have reason to be intrigued.
Yeah.
But again, we don't have to beat up on the guy. But to sit there and say that he didn't quit on plays. Right. In that game, Rodney Harrison said he quit on plays.
Right.
Just
not
for God's
the team.
Sakes, didn't quit on the team, but he quit on plays. That really is an annoying explanation. Like you said, Fred, he has no example
right.
of what
if
he did.
If I'm Merrill Hodge and I'm going against everything that's been said, give me some specifics. I'm happy to read them.
No
I'd love them. Tell me what I don't
them.
Know.
Give
I,
me something to
yeah,
use.
Give me something. Here.
You know what else kind of annoys me when the football analysts get the coaches tape. Like they get it, the coaches, and I understand the All-22 is different, but they make it sound like the coaches' tape is actually different plays than the ones you
right,
watch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I watched the plays that were to Randy Moss, and he didn't try on all of them. I don't need a coach's tape to show other plays
right.
where he was trying
right.
and the ball wasn't thrown to him.
You need the coach's tape for guards and tackles and all that. The TV tape usually shows wide receivers named Randy Moss. I mean, there's a lot there. They're focused on him.
And
post-concussion.
That's not an indictment of the whole coach's tape thing. That's relevant, the coach's tape.
Yeah.
And especially when you're talking about the secondary and some of the coverages and things like that, they can tell you a lot
of
stuff.
You need to see what's happening on one side of the field in relation to the other side of the field in the same sequence. You can't look at them one after another. You have to see, chronologically them happening at the same time. So a lot of times on TV, I hate this. Quarterback gets sacked or goes for a guy that's covered and is thrown in an interception's thrown, and then they'll go back on the replay and say, oh, look, that guy deep was wide open.
Right.
He never had a chance to get to that guy. But all they're showing on the replay is this guy running past his receiver. The receiver is already looking in the backfield, and he sees the quarterback has already thrown the ball.
Kind of like when you yell at Lawrence Maroney that he should have cut left and should have been touched.
Well, those are true. Those are very accurate. I can see. I have good vision.
That Derek Morgan guy that we just showing from Georgia Tech, I think he's a solid – outside linebacker candidate, if we could somehow get up in the
to the four
five.
Spot.
it's like 275 pounds. I think he'd be a 6'4", 270, 275.
Does he run a 4.6?
I don't know.
Because he's 6'4", you have to have a 4.6.
I don't know, but he's not a candidate to be a defensive end in the Patriots scheme.
A quick aside, did you read the comments out of Schwartzy, the baby Belichick? Sounds like he's a baby Belichick because he taught me something I did not know. He is kick returner. I don't know if you saw it. Picked up a ball at the 1 yard line on the sideline and then got tackled at the 4.
Oh, God.
And he ripped him. Someone tried to ask him at a press conference and got like the guy's name and the kickoff, and he cut him off and started ranting. And he said, we've gone over the situation a million times. There's a million things you can do there that are right. The one thing that isn't right is to pick the ball up and get tackled 3 yards later. And the first is to let it go out of bounds. Get a penalty. You get it at, the second is to let it grow into the end zone. Kneel on it. We'll take it at the 20. The third is to step out of bounds, establish yourself out of bounds, and grab the ball because that's out of bounds. I didn't know that. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. I think we saw that happen a couple of games ago.
But that tells me that that's Belichick. That the attention to detail, if they've truly practiced that in practice, that's good. That guy will never get the – he admitted he's probably not going to ever play again. But
at the risk of getting everybody upset again, another aside – I saw that the Lions this week, according to Florio, is one of those one-liners, sent 400 or 500 tickets for this week's game to ex-season ticket holders. They just mailed free tickets to ex-season ticket holders.
To make it a sellout? Or?
I don't know if it's making it a sellout. It sounds like that's not that many tickets to affect that. But
I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a great marketing idea.
Well, yeah, they use it in all kinds of industries.
They have guys that used to be
Come
fans,
back.
Used
it's
to
a
be customers
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Which, we'll throw you a bone. We'll see if we can get you back. I don't know. Does it matter?
We miss you.
Well, I'd kind of want to have a chance to win the game and not have it be against the Vikings and get blown out 45-3.
I know they already played the Vikings twice.
If I'm trying to get them to come, I want them to have a decent experience
and be
competitive.
Chicago. I don't know if they played Chicago at Detroit yet. They could win that game.
So that's not a bad idea. Andy in Sioux City says, Paul was right on the money yesterday with Moss. Anytime it gets cold, he tends to struggle, except for the Giants game a few years ago. It really seems like we are really missing all those guys that kept this team grounded, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Rodney, etc. What disappoints me the most this year is that we knew the defense was going to be questionable, but the offense has really been disappointing when most of the pieces haven't changed. Is it the offensive coordinator? And P.S. Fred's blog during the game has been awesome. Keep it up. So, but
I think they're missing an element to that offense.
Yeah.
We've talked about it all year. And it's taken Brady a while. Really hasn't done it yet to overcome it. You know, with that extra receiver, that complimentary receiver they've been searching for all season long, and they have not found the answer to it. And also Brady's struggles. Brady's, you know, rust. I don't want to say struggles because he's played really well. But I think he has missed some throws and had some periods of time where you expect Tom to pull it out, and he hasn't. Oh, God.
Wow.
You can't even talk with him. You can't.
One way mind. All right.
How they ended up with a kid.
508-543-7482. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon. So I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, The Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in progress. Let's see.
A lot of emails.
No, Quijo, who emailed us before about Merrill Hodge. Sticking
was that
up
the
for
one
Randy
you said
Moss.
Quadro the first time?
I don't know what I said.
Is that the pronunciation? Did he give you the pronunciation?
Quijo. But it's spelled K-W-A-D-W-O, and I said Quadro. But it's Quijo. Anyway,
Quijo. Okay.
Now he sends us video, but it's not from ESPN Merrill Hodge. It's from NFL.com. They had the drive of the week, and they picked the Patriots' 94-yard drive. And it does show Randy Moss going out and, you know, on his routes while Welker, that's the one where Welker made all those catches.
You know, going. That's great.
No, but I'm just.
I think that's great.
He didn't just stand there like a statue?
No, and, you know, he kind of ties up his defender, and but I don't think, I can't see that is evidence of what Hodge is talking about. No. And so, again, I still need to know what Hodge is referring to. But nice try, Quijo, and, you know, it's okay. I love Randy, too. I don't like seeing this. This pains me. It does. It pains me. Because he's such...
I think the guy's amazing.
He is such an out-of-this-world athlete. And, you know, again, it's... You know, I'm not comparing him to Tiger Woods, but you get these great... you get these great talents in whatever the field is. And oftentimes, it goes along with something that's a little off.
It's like what Tyrone Poole told me. God can't give them everything or it wouldn't be fair. So they have their weaknesses, their failings.
He made them short. Tyrone Poole was...
That's all that kept him from being the best ever.
He was short. You know, if he was tall, it wouldn't be fair.
You know, with all the talent Eric has, he will die a virgin. That's his, you know...
Eric,
those are the kinds that really bother him, Freddie.
I thought True was okay.
Yeah, but he's not even here to defend himself.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he might be able to tell you a name, and you could check with her.
We asked if he took pictures of naked women, and he said no until
he lied.
Until
denied,
someone else put it in.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right, Web Radio.
You're saying these things. I don't.
The blank looks that come up on your face.
You have a dirty, dirty, dirty speech pattern.
Colts are up to 29 players in the injury. Wasn't it 27 yesterday?
You want to eat my salad?
29 players on the injury report on Tuesday.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. On the phone now is Mike and Sharon. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. You guys have been kind of busy, so I haven't been able to catch up. But I want to talk about the Buffalo game a little bit and the fact that, I mean, I've gone through all the scenarios. If we lose in Buffalo, we're pretty much, you know, unless Miami and the Jets give us, you know, Jets not so much, but Miami definitely, you know, decides to lose a couple of games, you know, we're pretty much out of the playoff hunt.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have to win the game. I think it's a very important game, Mike. I think you're right. But, I mean, technically, you're still alive.
Yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't put a tie with Miami, we lose.
But if we win, if we lose and Miami wins, we're tied with them standing-wise, and all we would have to do is win another game and have them lose another game,
right,
and we'd win it.
Miami winning out, to me, is certainly not a foregone conclusion. They have,
I don't think any of the three winning out is a foregone conclusion.
Well,
the
Jets have Atlanta, Indy, and Cincinnati. That's a tough schedule.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. End with Pittsburgh, don't they?
No, Miami ends with Pittsburgh.
Oh, Miami ends with Pittsburgh, right.
Miami has some tough games, too, and I agree with Andy. Right now, I wouldn't bet a whole lot on any of those three winning out. But I think the Patriots would need to lose two to be out of the playoffs. I think they can lose one and still make it.
Here's the one issue with that assumption is that let's say the Patriots lose one and Miami loses one. Then, you know, that's fine. But let's say Miami runs the table like they did last year.
Okay.
and, you know, or and we just lose one.
Then we're out. Then we're out.
But we're out of the division. But if we beat Jacksonville, we're ahead of Jacksonville, and we could get the wild card. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Because don't forget that would tie us with Baltimore. We would own the tiebreaker over them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'd still have a chance.
But I'd rather, you know, be, you know, going in with through my own way than having.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Because if you worry about others, then you sometimes get left at home.
Which we've learned in 2002 and last year.
So, Mike, we all agree that this is, I think, a must win. You gotta beat the Bills.
I think it is a must win.
Not just because of the playoff, but what it says about you.
Everything.
You need to get on the road and win a freaking game.
Against a bad team.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves. This is a bad team they're playing Sunday.
It's a team that can't score points.
Were you not at Bill?
I was at Bill.
Yeah.
It's a bad team. I heard Bill tell me it's really a good run defense. They're 32nd in the league.
He said if you take out their 35-yard runs allowed,
he said what I've seen on tape is a good run defense.
9 out of 10 plays are good.
Bill could make the 0-16 Detroit Lions look like.
Well, he did that to Tampa earlier in the year.
Yeah. And then one more thing. When Vince got hurt, when he threw down his helmet, was that just more so the fact that, you know, he's such a competitor and someone I would love to continue to have on my team? Or was that like, oh, shoot, now I'm not going to be able to make the money because people, you know, are going to question my foot?
I don't know.
No, I didn't read all that into it.
I just thought he wanted to keep playing. He was having a great game.
I think it was frustration over being hurt, not necessarily over any lost money. But, I mean, we're all just.
But it wasn't even that dramatic. It was just kind of tossed it. It wasn't even like firing it.
I think he was just,
especially since he had left and come back. He'd already been limping, so maybe it was just,
I can't play on this. Maybe I can play on this, but I can't play on this.
Yeah, he made the same gesture.
That's why I would be really worried about him this
when
week.
When he got up from the ground on the field with the trainers around him the second time, he did the same thing. He was like, oh, man.
Right.
You know, he didn't want to come out.
Right.
He wanted to keep playing.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it.
Yeah. Hopefully. You know.
I wouldn't read too much into the future in terms of his contract.
Right. Money.
I would read into it for his
I don't think money came into
I don't
his
think
mind.
It was an Anne Frank injury.
It's okay. Liz Frank, and we try to shy away from Anne Frank German team. Jokes.
What's that?
Those are the type of players that you want on your team.
Absolutely.
Indeed. I think he has been the consummate professional since he showed up.
Day one.
Yep. Yeah.
And then finally, Fred, your comment about wanting Indy to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's just the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. Wow.
Go get him, Mike.
It was a bad one.
Indy to be 19-0 and achieve the perfect season after we weren't able to achieve it.
Well, somebody's going to do it if it's. I'm just saying, if it's New Orleans and them, somebody is going to.
You can forget about the Saints. You can just NFC, just kind of push them out of your mind.
Yeah,
you can't push your rival out of your mind.
You can't push Bill Polian out of your mind.
Right.
But I can't anyway. So now I'll have.
But
two
now
teams
he'll have the facts
about
on his side. I built the greatest team
ever.
I
don't like how excited their fans were. I'm sorry.
But you'd rather have Bill Polian 10 times more excited and flipping you the bird with a
matter.
Big ring on
I
it.
I can't hate them any more than I do.
But they will have the facts on their side. Right now, they don't have the facts on their side.
I just don't get you.
They'll also break another Patriots record this year.
Yeah.
Consecutive wins.
I know, but I just can't. Well, actually, they won't break it. They'll only have 19. They'll need to win their first two games of next season to tie us and their first three to break our record.
Right. They already have the other one.
Right.
He'll have to beat the Patriots again because you know that we'll open the season
with
the Colts next year.
Exactly.
Actually, no, we'll play him in Week 9.
You're going to end up changing
this
right
in the middle
weeks.
Of November sweeps. That's what we'll play him.
Don't worry, Mike. We'll talk sense into Fred over the coming
weeks. Yeah, I didn't get it. I mean, I understand.
He's starting to scare me.
Yeah,
I understand. We want him to lose. We want them both to lose.
I just want their fans to be disappointed. That's all.
But you should want more that your rivals' fans be disappointed. Your rivals,
I know, but they're already
fiery GM.
I can't hate them any more than I do.
But the.
Sometimes I wonder if he even works for the league, too. This is a team that has had no success throughout its existence, and their fans had the audacity to be excited about being undefeated. I don't understand you. I really don't. I don't get you.
Yeah, especially New Orleans. It's an off-the-field story.
I don't
rejuvenating a region.
It wasn't like they were arrogant. They were excited.
You're going out of your way
maybe
to say
I'll
something
root for
dumb.
The Colts. I don't know.
You just said the Colts again.
I know you're going to root for the Colts. You keep saying
I mean, maybe I'll root for the
we
Saints.
We know your true colors.
I don't know.
You're actually working for Colts Digest.
Yeah. Well, it won't be a problem because we'll be rooting for the Patriots. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you go, Mike.
Well, not unless we're talking about the preseason next year.
I know.
Or the draft.
Mike says, yeah, I know.
Now we're in trouble. It's over.
Oh, it's all over.
See you, Mike.
Okay, guys.
All right.
Thanks for the call. It's
is this because Polian's on the Cape and you're on the Cape? You Cape guys stick together?
Maybe. Strippers, you know, has more from Merrill Hodge.
Oh, Strippers, I heard you were a little upset with John yesterday for that Colt McCoy comment.
First thing to put down is that Randy Moss did not take one play off, not one play. Hodge went on to say he felt Moss's effort in the 20-10 victory of the Panthers was one of his better games without the ball in his hands, as he delivered key blocks on receiver screens and in the running game. I've been watching Randy Moss since the first time he came into the league, and initially, when I first put in the tape, the first thing that struck me was that the Carolina Panthers were playing him similar to how the Chicago Bears did when he was in Minnesota, he said. They would ride up a corner and press him at the line of scrimmage and then play a safety to that side anywhere from 20 to 25 yards over the top, which is a pre-snap indicator that you can forget the long ball. Don't even think about it. Give or take a little, I would say about 60% of the time, Tom Brady didn't work to his side because of that. You can start there because the coverage dictated not to throw there. The interception that so many people are talking about, it looks like he didn't run a very good route. It wasn't spectacular. He could have come out of his break sharper. But when you start watching coaching tape, two things pop out over that bad route, over the bad route. First, you look at where the corner is playing. He's already playing outside technique, sitting where the route is going. So you could argue that you don't want to make the throw because of how the corner is playing. On top of that, when you look at the end zone angle, Julius Peppers gets inside pressure right away and is getting his hands near the face of Brady when he's about to step into his throw. Brady pulls his left leg and wheels on the throw. When you wheel on that, the ball sails and you can't be accurate and decisive. So, this is the final paragraph. When you list things out in order, number one, it's a bad throw based on pressure. Number two, you look at the way the corner is playing and you can see why it's not the most decisive route. I'm not making excuses for him. It was a bad route. But when I look at the play, the route is number three on the list.
I'm glad he's not making excuses for him three paragraphs later.
So,
but that's part of it. And this even goes back to the interception in the end zone, is we're talking about the fight. Even if it's going to be a pick, fight to make sure it isn't. Right?
I would even say that this
fight,
is
a word that his quarterback used, fight, a week earlier.
And this play, to me, is more egregious than that play. That play was all Brady,
right,
and Moss did nothing to help him. This play, in my opinion, Merrill Hodge is all wet because it may not have been accurate. I think the throw was exactly where it was supposed to go. I think if Moss is two steps further to the sideline, he catches the ball. I think the throw went exactly where Tom wanted the throw to go to. But I didn't see the coach's tape, so I don't know.
Right.
You don't have 17 concussions.
Harry writes in, I personally think the Patriots and Brady rushed to prove that Brady was back to 2007 form way before Brady was ready. I think Moss got discouraged by Brady's inaccuracy early in the season, and now finally it's come back to haunt us. How many routes has Moss run where Brady overthrew him early in the season? Then a couple of good games, and it started again. Now it's finally built up to a boiling point. What do you think about my theory?
So it's Brady's fault. Coming off a major injury, he wasn't perfect, and that gives Moss the right to
say what you want about Moss. I don't think he'd be mad at Brady for that.
I think that might be part of it. I think he might have been frustrated, but that's Moss's fault, not Brady's.
That's another lump of coal in the why he's a turd bag.
I seem to remember Wes Welker getting hit in the feet with a couple of key passes in the fourth quarter of games.
Right.
Has he gone in the tank?
Or Wes Welker, even recently, having to reach way back over the middle,
God,
where he's putting his life on the line to catch
that's
the ball.
Why, right. You know, and
making himself the epitome of a defenseless receiver.
And we've talked about it a lot. Tom Brady's stats this season are going to say that's his second-best season ever. He hasn't been anywhere near the second-best season of his career. We've seen it with our eyes. He's been more inaccurate this year than we can ever remember.
But physical mistakes are one thing.
Right.
The inability to be your perfect self. No one would be criticizing Moss for not being perfect. They criticize the effort and the side, circus sideshow on the sideline there.
Even if you wanted to sit and fall back on analysis, coach's tape, or whatever.
Well, maybe the coach's tape didn't have shots of the sideline and Brady talking to him on the bench.
Right,
so maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about because he hasn't seen the whole picture.
That, to me, is the ultimate indictment of this whole situation. Was him sitting on the defensive bench all by himself while the rest of the offense was on the offensive bench, and three separate times the quarterback is imploring him I don't know what he was saying because I'm not on the sideline, but he was speaking animatedly right in Randy's face. Don't tell me that that's not to try to get him to put forth a better effort.
He felt the need to do that for some reason. Rasmus from Denmark.
Is he one of those world's strongest man guys?
I don't know. But he says, I can't believe how the media is ripping Moss because of one bad game. Yes, he played bad, and yes, that's not what the fans expect from him. Randy Moss is most likely the best receiver to ever play this game, and I don't see how he's not a Patriot next year. The way Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, and everybody else around this team is defending, there's no doubt in my mind that he'll be a Patriot next year. He does more for this offense than any other player besides Brady. I think this is just the media trying to find something negative because of the way this season has been for the Patriots. Now on to the Bills. Personally, I think we're going to blow them away. They don't have the players to match up against this team. So,
I'm not sure they're going to blow them away. Players-wise, I think they are a more talented team, but the conditions, the way this team has been grinding it out, as the quarterback says, I find it hard to believe.
In perfect conditions, you beat them 25-24. Right.
And but even saying that it's a different time now, different team, whatever, I mean...
I think you could argue that the team that won the game is a lot worse shape today than the team that lost the game.
Yeah, I guess.
They were in complete shambles when the first game of the year. They had just fired their offensive coordinator. They had just released their left tackle. They were going down the drain with a lame duck coach, and they knew it before they even played one game. Now, they're not much better off than they were then, but the gap between that and where they are now is, to me, a lot smaller than where the Patriots were. As you said yesterday, everybody had them picked to be the Super Bowl team. Now you can't even find Mike from Sharon, who's at every practice, for God's sakes, doing more work at training camp practices than we do. He doesn't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Stripper says that the Patriots will practice outside preparing for Buffalo. Who needs Eric? We got strippers to tell us what's going on at practice. So
I
figured they would practice outside today.
Yeah, you don't want to be soft.
It was very, very windy today, too, coming through the parking lot.
Another good thing. Could be what you're dealing with on Sunday.
Tom always talks about that as being the number one thing. Drew talked about it a lot, too. But I wonder, does the finger come into more play in those kinds of conditions? Do you maybe have to have a better grip? I mean, I know the ring finger isn't, you know. I know Fred, I know the ring finger is more important than the index finger, according to Fred. But
depends on your grip, how you grip the ball. For a guy like Flutie.
I wish this was a video show.
For a guy like Flutie, the ring finger would be very important.
Proceed with your analysis.
Because he used to say that he would grip the ball more toward the end because he had smaller hands. So every finger on Flutie's hand was very important. And he had the glass blower gloves.
I'm just wondering about the wind. Would that? Do you think that would affect maybe...
Yes.
You have to have a better grip. And
I don't know to what degree, but yeah, I mean, makes it accuracy, grip on the ball, throwing, release are even more important than normal, and there's something wrong with that
and
hand.
And we'll see what the wind is going to be like in Buffalo. I mean, some of the reports that you're reading so far, Fred, don't necessarily indicate
right. Not yet.
strong winds right. That would prohibit the passing game like last year.
Brian at Tuscaloosa, Merry Christmas, guys, and Eric. Fred, don't feel bad about how your tooth cracked. I cracked my tooth eating ice cream a few years ago. It was chocolate chip cookie dough, and one of the chips broke my molar in half.
Ooh.
Yes, I broke my tooth. I had to have a crown. Ooh. So I was in. Paul.
Crown his ass.
Crown his ass.
Did you catch your best friend's forever Asante Samuel's comments in the Herald yesterday about the Pats?
I didn't see him in the Herald, but I saw them.
Here it is. I think it's good. That Adalys Thomas spoke up, Samuel is quoted as saying, more up there should. It certainly got to be a place where I didn't want to be. I'm happy to be gone. I'm happy here. They know how to make you feel wanted and appreciated here, but it's not the way I found it over there. That's
so
what Asante
ridiculous.
Samuel says.
When I heard these quotes on the radio yesterday.
I thought it was Lawyer Malloy.
I was thinking of myself.
Hey, lawyer.
I was thinking to myself, reading them exactly the way Fred just read it. Because I knew that would be a topic.
You know, this whole crap, these guys go to the new team, and of course they love me until they cut me.
Well, give Adalys Thomas credit. He's voicing it while here.
Yeah, right.
And
he hates it while he's still in it.
I agree with you in terms of the part about, this is one of those Borges columns, Fred, that I think that sometimes the sarcasm is what gets noticed and not the message. And I agree with you about Everybody says, oh, they treat you like family here. That's a bunch of crap, and you're absolutely right. The day the Eagles decide not to pick up the last year of that contract and they send him somewhere else, he'll be saying the same thing about Philadelphia. But I think the message is, the larger message is that other guys feel like this when they play here.
But you know what? That's true for every team in the league. There are guys that aren't happy.
But there's not guys that are being silenced everywhere in the league.
Well, I don't know.
You think
sure,
there's nothing to it?
I really don't.
See, I think there's
something
to it.
I really don't. Every team in the league has its share of disgruntled players. Some do a better job of telling them don't go to the media than others.
Right.
But
5 times a year, Teddy Bruschi said in one of his mailbags.
My point that I guess I'm trying to make, we don't have to make the last hour of the show about this topic, but I think there's an element of the players that get somewhat frustrated with the philosophy here of always doing what they say, don't do this. Don't do, subjugate your ego.
I know, but we're not going to change the philosophy for them.
And no, I understand that. And then they get, when it's time for them to get rewarded, they never get rewarded. They get shown the door. And I think that people that are still here feel like that. That's when it's a problem. It's not a problem that Asante Samuel feels like that.
Right.
It could be a problem if...
When you say rewarded, you mean in terms of contract?
Right.
Okay.
And there's been enough of a track record for the players that are already here to know...
Right.
Maybe I'm talking about Vince Wilfork here, to know he ain't going to get it here.
See, I'm even way lower on that. I'm on like a personal
Vince Wilfork.
I think there's some guys that don't like the not knowing week to week, the changes. I just show up and find out on Monday and do whatever I'm told. If you want to know any more than that, you can tell me when you find out from Bill. That, to me, it goes back to that lack of communication.
But do you think that that's
I think
any,
the money thing can happen
but
anywhere.
Do you think... Right now, it's any different than it was.
No,
the
difference
three
is the
record.
Nope, the difference is
right.
You put up with crap.
Right, you
when you're winning.
But if you believe in the philosophy,
they didn't know it when they were winning 3 out of 4. They didn't know they weren't going to get the reward at the end of the line. Now he's been here 8-10 years. Now they know. Doesn't matter what we do, we're not going to get anything out of it.
Well, I think some guys have and some guys haven't, and I think it's a business decision. And by God, you should know by now it's all business.
Most of the guys haven't.
Well, I mean,
but that's the fear. Now, again, I'm not bringing this into the last hour of the show. I'm saying this is how I think some veterans look at the Patriots. Now, what Bill does a great job of every year is turning over enough to not have that
great
fester. No, what I'm saying is he gets the potential guys that could be around long enough to be a problem. He gets those guys out and he brings in other guys that don't know it's a problem.
Right.
Now, the problem has been he's been doing that with lesser talent lately. Before, he was doing it with better talent.
Josh says, one small thing I wanted to clarify from yesterday's show. There was a point where you guys were talking about Bill O'Brien and the criticism he receives after bad games. Fred went on to say, I remember criticizing Charlie Weiss. Andy quickly followed up with, only when it's going bad. I don't believe that to be accurate. In the case of Weiss, he was often criticized even when it was going well. Specifically, I can remember times where the Patriots would be playing a game, a great game in 03 or 04, and then out of nowhere, some ridiculously elaborate play call would fail to develop on the field.
But that's what I meant by going bad. I didn't mean by losing, because they didn't have extended losing.
Right.
I meant when he called an end around or
tight end reverse.
To Daniel Graham,
right,
or a bomb or a gadget play, he was trying to pad his resume.
Okay, right. So you're clarifying it's
bad
not the
plays.
Game. That
right, when things didn't work.
Right.
Bad plays.
More often than not, when you're going 14-2, everything works. You throw crap on the field and you win.
Right. So there, Josh.
Yeah, is that Josh? You know what about him.
508-543-7482.
Ed Ellis?
Is on the phone. Kevin from Reading is on the phone. Kevin, how you doing?
Jeez.
All right. Hey, guys. I was listening to the podcast this morning because I can't listen normally during the day, and I noticed Andy ripped me. And I think he ripped me because some other guy called Kevin emailed.
Oh, it's not you?
Thursday. No.
Oh, my bad. You're a nice guy. How are you, Kevin?
That's typical Andy, Kevin.
Sometimes I lash out for no reason.
Yeah, Kevin, it's a somewhat common name.
Yeah.
Know?
I lump you all together. All Kevins are bad.
Kevin Falk, Kevin from Reading,
Kevin Gilbride.
You read that quote from Asante, And I wish I didn't hear it because it just made my blood boil. It just, you know, I'm not objective. I know that. I'm a Pats fan through and through. And these guys that they leave, and it's not just the guys that leave this team, any team. It's so amazing that after they leave, they say, oh, yeah, they treat you like a family. They do this. They do that.
They appreciate me here.
I hate that. Yeah. I'm
so
totally
insane.
With Kevin and Fred on that.
If they had offered him money, he'd be here and he'd be towing the company line.
Right. That's the message that I get, not necessarily the words. I agree with you. The whole family thing is crap.
Right. You don't cut family.
You know, and it's just it's amazing. These guys. And you know what? It just goes to show you, whether you're making $50,000 or you're making $8 million, you can't see the forest through the trees. You know, we think all these guys, their life should be happy. But I bet you a lot of these guys are just as miserable as you and I, or me and Andy.
No one's as miserable as Andy.
It's just the level of the bitching and the specifics that change. There's always bitching involved.
Yeah.
When you're miserable in there, you can go out and buy yourself something nice.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of me bringing my car into the shop and I need $500 worth of work,
you buy a new one.
It's they scratched their Lamborghini.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
The other thing was, you know, there's no doubt, you know, anybody who says Moss wasn't dogging it last week, you know, you can just tell by his body language. Now, I don't think he purposely fumbled, or I don't think he was, you know, I think it was just a play where the guy got his hand in there and knocked the ball out, and, you know, it's one of those things.
Yep.
But during the course of the game, you know, normally, you know, generally you don't see him sitting right next to Brady after every play. But, you know, he's kind of sitting with the guys. But, you know, you could definitely tell something was up. And I just hope they can nip this in the butt.
They will.
Because you just can't have that.
Right.
And the other thing was, is Ron Brace that bad that Titus Adams, who's just signed off the practice squad, can go in and play, and he can't? Because I saw him at BC, and to be honest with you, I emailed you guys during the draft show, and I was psyched that they got him because I thought he was a guy that, you know, after if Will Fork left, you know, he could be a guy that filled that spot. But there's something up because it doesn't make any sense to me because
well,
I think he could be a good player, but he just must not be grasping the system.
Yeah, that's it. He's physically more gifted than Titus Adams. That's why he was a second-round pick.
But at the end of the day, what does he really need to grasp?
Yeah.
All the positions. I mean, they are doing a lot up front. Moving guys in and out, 3-4, 4-3.
But isn't that, okay, on this play, you're going to this gap to your left. On that play, you're going to this gap on your right. You know?
I mean, that's a lot if they don't think he's going to do it every time.
No,
Titus Adams has been here 2 years.
What I'm saying is, if someone said, is it mental or physical, I'd have to say it's physical.
Oh, I'd have to say it's mental.
Really?
Based on what he has said, yes.
Well, I think that's a way to hide. I don't know.
Well, then you screwed up in the draft pick. He's not physically talented?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
He is so on the record with such critical things lately. I don't know this man sitting across from me.
I mean, really, by now, you can't figure out defensive line play?
Why are you making it sound like the defensive line play is any less complicated than anything
else?
Because
Titus Adams just walked on and played.
He's been here two years.
But
2 years, Fred.
He hasn't played a lick.
Myra Pryor
just came here and played. I mean, is he a genius?
Maybe.
I don't know. Joey Galloway didn't get it. Isaiah Stanbeck did. Same amount of time.
One's been an all-pro and in the league for 13 years.
You tell me it was physical?
The other guy was a quarterback last week.
It might have been.
No, it was mental.
No, I think his hand-eye coordination.
You're out of your mind if you think Joey Galloway wasn't mental.
Hand-eye coordination.
Balls, tell you who's mental.
Balls bouncing off his chest in training camp.
Because
he didn't know
where he was supposed to go.
But it doesn't matter. His hand should be, able to catch the ball.
When you're not looking, your ball's going to bounce off your face.
He was looking.
And the other
Unreal.
Thing,
how can you say Joey Galloway, it wasn't a mental issue? It was physical.
The man has lost it.
And the other thing, people getting upset with these guys on ESPN say, I used to be one of them too, but these guys are just a bunch of Muppets. When will people learn? They don't know anything. You know, the stuff that some of the stuff that you you hear out of them. It's just unbelievable. I don't get worked up anymore.
You should.
You know, that guy, he's had, what, 24 concussions. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Merrill Hodge,
yep.
Yeah.
I agree. I think in certain instances they have better sources because they played on the team recently, whatever. But more often than not, they're just like you, sitting at a bar, popping off with their thoughts from afar.
All you need to know is watch the draft. Every guy that comes up, oh, this guy is the best. I remember one Jaworski going on and on about J.P. Lausman, on and on. You just couldn't believe how talented he was. You know, people relax.
Right.
All right, Kevin. Thanks.
All
for
right,
the call.
Good Kevin.
All nice, right. Kevin.
Where's this bad Kevin character? I don't want to confuse him.
Christian from Chile, all the way down there, says.
Down where, Fred?
I'm Chile down there. I know I'm breaking Fred's rules, but with
Eric
the subject,
will warm me up later.
I guess I can get Fred's attention. Paul is wrong on Gamble in the Carolina cornerback's comments. He can't make that comment on Moss, not because he isn't a seven-time Pro Bowler.
Well, that's what everybody said.
But because Welker killed him. You just can't make the argument that you knew that Moss would shut it down and let the only other receiver on the team get 10 to 15 catches, 10 catches for 105 yards and
all
more
day.
Than 50% of
that's
Tom's
the game
passes.
Plan.
If Moss shut it down, they can't cover the only guy who can beat them. That's BS.
Carolina's defensive game plan was executed to a T. Its offense let it down. If you tell any team going into a Patriots game, we're going to allow 20 points, every team in the league would say, great. Tom Brady on the other team, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, we're only going to allow 20 points. We'll take it.
So, Paul, defending
Gamble. Carolina executed their game plan to a T. Unfortunately, their offense sucked.
Mike from Pensacola. Hey, Andy, Fred, Paul, Fred, Doc in the booth, and Eric in the closet. My question has to do with Randy Moss. I had my doubts when y'all speculated that he might be done after next season, although I have seen some isolated incidents where his effort is questionable. I first saw it in week 2 against the Jets when he did not attempt to jump over defenders for a touchdown in the second half of the game. I am now definitely on board with you now. This leads me to my next question, given our inability to successfully draft wide receivers in the early rounds and develop them to be successful in the offense. What do you see the Pats doing this offseason to address this glaring problem? I mean, we are starting our special teams ace, who is a number 5 receiver, as our third receiver. I personally want us to draft 2 more receivers at a minimum in this next draft to attempt to get younger at the position. Thanks for reading my email. I have not sent one in a while since Fred never reads emails despite bringing up how many he has on the show.
Well, I don't want to be Mr. Homer, but that's one guy is Brandon Tate, who now there's 2 knee injuries. I think it's a really big concern. But, you know, the whole billing on him was he could have been a first-round type talent that you got in the third round because of the injury, right?
Yeah.
So, theoretically, there's one in-house candidate, and I think theoretically they like Edelman.
Yeah, I think they think Edelman can be something in the Welker mold, you know, not as talented as Welker.
But, I mean, if Tate can be a big play guy, if he can stretch the field theoretically as a Moss type, he's not as big, he's not a Hall of Famer, not all that, but okay, yeah. Maybe you have a couple pieces.
I was excited when we saw Tate in and they were getting him involved early in the game in Tampa, at least getting his hands on the ball, and then he got hurt again. It was very disappointing.
And I also think they have more pressing needs. I do agree wholeheartedly with the lack of depth at receiver. We were on that all summer, even before we saw it on the field. But I think they have some more pressing needs draft-wise than 2 receivers high in the draft.
I could argue they have a lot of pressing needs. For a team.
For a good team.
Right. And it's kind of what I brought up last week, and somebody emailed in and ripped me. But the Wilfork situation, if you re-sign him to a huge deal and re-sign Tom Brady to a huge deal, you're now limiting your resources to fill all these pressing needs with 2 guys that are on your team right now and you're struggling. Right?
So how much better are you? You haven't gotten any better.
And I'm
you've
not
lost
advocating
a lot of
letting
space.
Brady go.
No, you
so
can't.
So maybe you have to let Wilfork go and put some of that, you know, $60, $70 million type investment into some other position and hope that Ron Brace or Myron Pryor or somebody internally kind of develops. You only have so much to go around. I know we like to poo-poo the cap, but on some level, there's a cap.
And I do think that they have done a good job of sort of overhauling the secondary. You know,
yeah.
I don't think that needs to be a high priority right away. Now, I'm not saying that if there's a Darius Butler or someone that you really like that you don't take him,
I think
because we're all set at the set. No, if there was a number one corner that they're in line to take, I would grab him. I think that's a great pick. But I think they've done a good job of getting some younger guys in the secondary that look like they can play. Now, they don't really have a lot of linebackers in terms of depth. And a lot of our listeners have been fairly critical of that whole 6-4-4-6 thing that they let all of these different guys go.
So have a lot of our panelists.
Yeah, well, everybody always thinks we're critical. That's what we do. Well,
Fred's the most critical of the bunch these days.
Fred is new. I don't even know Fred anymore.
Ron Brace, bust.
How hard is it to play defensive line? Quote Kirsch.
Moss has given up. It's obvious. Quote.
Webb, I didn't say that.
We need you, Randy.
Webradio@patriots.com. In from the cold is Eric.
Or the closet.
Wearing a blue crew neck. Now, I believe I've seen that sweater before. That's not a new sweater.
None of them are.
And you also had a black overcoat.
At this point, none of them are.
But Christmas is coming, and so you might get a
few
for
watch,
Christmas.
Watch out when Eric comes in a black overcoat, because you might be in the crosshairs.
That'd be a trench.
You haven't shaven today, Eric. You're going a little...
I haven't shaven. No, that's right.
Yeah.
he hasn't shaven.
I haven't shaved either.
You're unshaven. What's going on here? You giving up?
No.
Just a new look.
Yeah. This is typically how I look after
How often do you have to trim your hair?
After a few days of what?
Not shaving.
That was a curse-like comment.
But why aren't you shaving? That's my question.
You've known me for 4 years now.
Yeah.
Longer than that, actually, because we met in 2001. And I go 3 or 4 days without shaving.
Really?
Where did you meet in 2001?
That's when I first interviewed with Fred.
2001?
Cazzoli got the job over him?
No, Dudek.
Oh, God.
You were going to be a webmaster?
Are you kidding me?
Really? I just applied because there was an opening.
Are you kidding
me? And Fred responded within like 10 minutes.
That's what Fred does.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog.
A lot of stuff that's happened in the last 9 years
Really. I give my boy Eric a lot of static, but you had this guy in Dudek. Applying at the same time.
But one knew computers and one didn't.
Right. That's true.
He knows computers.
Well, not enough to be a webmaster.
Of course you do. This kid single-handedly brought the organization to its knees at the Super Bowl.
Ixnay.
Wiggle it. Just a little bit.
Don't ixnay. Second worst hire you ever made.
Who hires these people?
Good, Paulie.
All right. Eric, what do you got?
Okay. Good news, bad news. Good news, there were only 4 players not at practice.
Bad news,
there were some big-name players.
Moss. Brady Moss.
Brady
Welker.
Moss. No, not Welker. Brady Moss, Wilfork, and Warren.
Okay.
So pretty close.
Yeah.
Brady Moss. I mean,
Moss is his usual Wednesday.
3 all-pros and a guy who people think should be a Pro Bowler. Oh, good.
Yeah, Moss doesn't practice on the first day.
Right.
He has the last few weeks.
Well, not last week.
Not last week.
Not last week because he was asked to leave this place in residence.
And Warren talked in the locker room, so I would assume that if a guy's talking, he's
just getting
probably
some time off.
Probably.
Brady getting some time off. And who was the fourth guy?
Warren and Wilfork.
Wilfork, who we haven't seen since.
That one could be an issue.
He went out against Carolina, came back for a play or two, and then went out again.
Right.
I'm really concerned about Brady, and I know it sounds stupid, but first of all, I'd never remember Belichick really kind of acknowledging a Brady injury the way he did this week, saying that it truly was a game-time decision. And, we knew he was going to play. Well, we thought he was going to play all along, but we really didn't know for sure.
That's for teammates, too,
I agree. Yeah. I think you're right about that, Fred. But also, I think from talking to some of the guys, some of our camera guys that are down around the sideline, he was in a lot of pain on the sideline. He really, really had to suck it up. And I think that I'm really concerned about him.
So what do you got, Andy?
They had a party out in our green room, which I didn't even know it was called the green
room.
For
who?
But, staff. I don't know.
Stadium ops.
But there's tons of leftovers. Brownies, cakes, cookies.
Oh, I could use a little dessert.
Better looking than that?
That looks good. Cherry pie?
I hope it's strawberry.
Doc?
I don't like cherry pie.
I'm waiting.
Hello?
No.
There's a sound bite that...
I don't know what you're talking about. I was told to delete that sound bite.
Who told you that? Fred, tell him what he is.
Meow.
Who told you to delete that?
You're a vag.
What? Wow.
Wow.
Grow a pair. That's what we do on the show. When something makes someone uncomfortable, we don't delete it. We play it more often.
Cherry pie?
Thank you.
All right.
There we go.
Jeez.
So that's it. Four guys out. Brady,
yeah,
Moss.
Yeah, Brady, Moss, Welker.
Welker, Will Fork.
You got me saying it. Will Fork and Warren. Not Welker. Not Welker.
So only guys. Four.
Yeah. Only four, but four pretty
again.
Important ones.
Wes Welker was on
was
the practice
on the field.
Field.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
What else he got? A lot of media?
Usual number.
Sweaters? People wearing sweaters? No?
No, bundled up, though. You should have seen Bill. Came out there with the huge parka, the pom-pom hat. He might have even had a scarf. He was all...
Well, we don't want people getting sick before Buffalo.
You don't want them getting sick after Buffalo, either.
Right. So, how's the mood? Business-like?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah. Fred. Business-like. You know, too cold for some of these guys to be jovial and bouncing around. But,
yeah.
You know,
plus no reason to be jovial and
plus
bouncing
no reason
around.
To be jovial and bouncing around, although now, they have been the last couple of weeks at the start of practice.
Now, these guys said they saw Randy in the locker room, and he kind of
made a quick
quick exit.
Ducked into the
made
weight
a
room.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Ducked in the weight room. So he's here. It's not
oh,
like
sure.
He's
yeah.
Not here.
Yeah. 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 But, wow. Look at you.
Oh, but I didn't want that. I wanted what he had.
There is one more out there.
I'll help you out there, Paul.
I didn't see any more of those.
Shells and sweats. Again, no heavy hitting.
No heavy hitting. Okay.
Shells and sweats. Odd, just little notation. A lot of guys wearing pennies today. You know those little yellow things that they wear to simulate somebody else on the other team's jersey.
More than usual.
More than usual. Much more than usual.
Well, they do have a lot of skill players.
Yeah, they do, as we've been told. But
well, maybe they're doing some special teams work, getting ready for the Bills special teams.
None of them have any skill.
Oh, wow.
508-543-7482. Is Doc out there?
Nope. I think he went to go get dessert.
Fred Jackson's a nice little player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a good little player. You don't agree? Or are you just chewing on that massive brownie? Is that a brownie or a cake, or is it a brownie cake?
Brownie.
It's thick like your midsection.
I wasn't being literal by saying none of them have. I mean, T.O., he's got some skill.
He's at the end of the line.
Is this Funfetti? Is that what that stuff is?
Yeah, probably. Or M&M's.
Let's see. Dave from the Philippines. Fred, enjoyed chatting with you on the game blog last week. I just wanted to get some clarification. You just said when responding to an email that we have to worry about cap space if we re-sign Vince and Tom. Thank you, Doc. What cap? I thought the cap was gone for next year unless there's a new CBA. I am not optimistic about seeing a new CBA before the end of next year when everyone is staring into the lost season. Therefore, we should be able to sign anyone Bill wants and Bob Kraft will pay for. Am I mistaken about this?
You are not mistaken about that, but there will be a cap again. We're not going to go on for, despite what Gene Upshaw always tried to say, if you
it's
lose the
be
cap,
infinity
it will never come back.
Without a cap.
The
right.
cap will be coming back. Whether it's the year after, if there's a lockout that year, the year after that, there will be a salary.
It's going to have to be part of any agreement.
It's what the league has been built upon. They're not going to do away with it totally. And our understanding has been, sure, theoretically, you could sign Tom Brady to a contract with $100 million up front and whatever. But they're going to try to keep teams from doing that. So if you sign Will Fork and Brady to long-term extensions, they're going to have large cap numbers at some point that you need to deal with. So
yeah, so if you sign a guy for... Let's just say, throwing out a number, $200 million. And then the cap the next year is $181 million.
You're pork.
You have to do
you're
something.
Porked.
Yeah.
Yep. So the cap is going to be an issue moving forward, even if it's not a direct issue next year. They may be able to take advantage, we talked about yesterday, cutting Moss, cutting Thomas, and having the dead money go on an uncapped year and maybe benefit from it that way. But I don't think Brady-wise you're going to be able to take huge advantage of an uncapped year to keep him around. He's going to get a $100 million contract that goes over 6 years or something moving forward.
Let's see. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. And John from L.A. is on the phone right now. Hey, John.
He's not there anymore. He sent you an email instead.
Do you have a table to get to?
I would have typed you that, but I had to go get you your cherry pie.
It's strawberry.
Strawberry.
It's not bad, Fred, right?
No, it's very good.
It's like a vanilla
cherry
something
pie.
Let's
now,
see.
Now, did I miss that? She doesn't really like when we play that.
He claimed she told him to delete it, and I yelled at him that when people are mad about things, we don't delete them. We play them more often on this show.
So after a little bit of cajoling, he finally played
it. The best way to make that go away is to pretend she doesn't care. Right?
Okay.
John from L.A.
It hasn't worked for me. I've gotten mad. I've ignored it. No matter what I do.
Fat, bald,
everything. Oh, the whole
all
package
of them?
Hasn't worked for Eric either.
No,
he's
doesn't work.
Maybe
his,
my New Year's resolution will be to take out one of them.
Taking it on the chin.
They call those chestnuts. Oh. And Paul's got a ball in his mouth.
What? I don't know. That's what you said earlier talking.
He has inner dialogue.
No, he said balls on his face.
Oh, yeah, balls on his face. All those Arabian goggles.
Oh, read an email, please.
Arabian goggles.
I'm going back to get another brownie. I don't want this.
Eric's
dirty
about this. According to John in L.A., he got cut off. So
what's
once again, I was getting you cake.
So you cut him off?
No, he was on hold for, look at the chat, he was on hold for about 15 minutes.
Well, how did he get cut off?
Maybe his connection. Anyway, read the email.
Anyway, John says, wanted to say that I'm sure Eric's sweater is not blue, but rather azure.
Azure.
No, it's navy blue.
And that whoever said something about his trench coat may be onto something. Is there anyone in the Patriots organization more Columbine chic than Senorita Scalavino?
Chris Ferrero.
See, that's just that's just stupid.
I don't worry about that.
I'll just John's from LA's first contribution to the show in 9 months, and he has that.
I don't worry about that with Eric
at
all. But there are
others
in this building.
You're better than that.
I do have my concerns about
Chris Ferrero.
Yeah, he'd be one.
Yeah,
he could snap.
Yeah,
and he has a long black trench coat thing.
You could snap
it. Ferrera does?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that.
I don't know if he can wear it right now because he has ribbon neck.
Most of the ones I really feared no longer work here. Hopefully,
so he's basically a coat hanger when that thing is on.
Yeah. A lot of emails.
Yeah, a lot of them.
What
yep.
you guys discussed.
We got to hurry up. We got to do
picks.
We weren't
talking.
Tomorrow
dead
it. At this time.
Oh. I was like, did I miss a day this week?
That was good.
Alex in Edmonton.
For Eric. Not for any jokester, but for
good
Eric.
Good Eric.
Fred, just listening to Tuesday's podcast, and I feel your pain. I had a couple fillings done over the summer, and once the Novocaine wore off, Jesus, did the needle holes hurt. Nice of you to battle through it. Thank you for your service.
He did. He did suck it up yesterday.
Speaking of thank you for your service,
I now say it and I look right at him and wait for the reaction.
He said earlier, you said something about Brady and you're asking him to pull out or pull it out or something.
Pull it out. I said. I said
if
in
he'd
the
done
past
that, he wouldn't have had a kiss.
I said in the past when the game's been on the line, Brady's been able to pull it out. Well, he hasn't pulled it out. You would have thought I said the dirtiest thing that's ever been said on any show.
No. But subtly dirty is funnier.
Especially when
okay.
he doesn't intend it to be
right.
subtly.
Well, that's why
dirty.
It's funny. Like when he said earlier he had balls bouncing off his face or whatever. That was funny.
What was that in dodgeball?
I didn't know.
No, these two got into a fight about Joe Galloway's eye-hand coordination.
Wait,
Fred
wait
goes, he's got balls bouncing off his chest. And Fred goes, and then Paul said something about balls bouncing off his face. It was a gay orgy in here.
It actually,
he did say it.
It actually started with Andy. This is just like a typical Andy. Fred and Paul got in an argument. It was Andy and Fred who got in the argument about mental versus physical for Ron Brace.
Yeah, but then I lose
and
focus when somebody says balls on his chest.
And I said, how could you say it wasn't mental? He didn't even know. He's not even looking when the ball's come.
Chris from Connecticut writes in.
Formerly of the Bronx.
Right. He says, just a few true-false questions for today. Please answer first how you think Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots, would decide. Then say whether or not you agree with that decision.
Oh, I like this game.
I put my own answers in there.
I love nothing more than trying to speculate as to what Bill would think.
Well, I'm like John Fox. I think I can speak for Bill.
Right.
You're good. I never said that.
Belichick says, no. Number one, Belichick will sit Adalius Thomas on Sunday.
I have no idea.
False.
I'm going to say false.
As Bill Belichick,
yes.
You say false.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
And we have to say why?
Chris says he disagrees with it as he's now playing for a contract and could be motivated.
No, I just think it's personnel-wise they need the guy.
And Bill says it's week to week, and Adalius came out and said last week is done. I think they all tried to close the door on last week. You screwed up, you serve your punishment, you screwed up again, you serve that punishment, we move forward.
Belichick will install the Wildcat offense.
False.
What do you mean?
This week? Or
is there a chance
forever?
They run a rep out of it? Sure.
This week?
Since they already have, I would say there's a chance, but I don't think he installs any.
I don't think it'll be.
I'm going to say false.
Julian Edelman in motion. Taking
I think
the
he
snap.
Means in this game because of his answer here.
No,
false.
True.
False.
Chris thinks it's false, but too bad. Would stand back Edelman, Maroney, and Falk. It would like to give Brady a little break and see how Buffalo handles it, but he doesn't think they will.
I don't want to poo-poo it, and it's a nice little theory to say stand back Edelman. Maroney and Falk, but that's not exactly like the Eagles saying McNabb, Westbrook, DeSean Jackson, Michael Vick. Some of them are like all pro caliber athletes. Some of them are nice little story, fourth round pick, seventh round pick athletes.
And I also say, just in terms of the specific game plan, we know that Buffalo is terrible against the run, and that's why
you don't have to give
Chris is saying it. So that makes sense game plan wise to try to run the ball. But if you're putting Edelman and Stanback on the field to do that rather than Moss and Welker, aren't you eliminating the pass?
Right.
From the equation. I mean, if they want to throw a wrinkle and have Edelman and Stanback, I say, okay, I'm going to put Nat in the box and make you do that anyway.
Yeah, I don't think this is a wrinkle week. I think this is a line up and run the ball week.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't think this makes a lot of sense.
The next one is Belichick will run Maroney 25-plus times on Sunday.
False.
I'm going to say true.
What did he have last week?
I don't know, 22?
20, yeah, 24.
I'm going to say true.
I thought it was 22 for 94, it but might I don't. Be,
yeah. 22 for 94. Yeah. That sounds right. I'll say true.
True. Chris agrees. He thinks it'll be true. For the first time in years, Maroney has improved from week to week.
And if Brady's condition is as tenuous as it was last week, they might need to run the ball.
I disagree with that part, but I think...
You don't think he's improved, Paul?
No, I think he's coming off his one of his worst games ever, two games ago.
Wow.
And he also... That was coming off three consecutive fumbles.
Now, Fred Taylor, this isn't one of Chris's questions, but what do we think? Do we think he'll be back this game?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had the.
I do too.
2 weeks ago, it was just Friday. Last week, it was Thursday, Friday. This week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That tells me.
Warm up game time.
It's Wednesday, at least. We assume he'll be out the next 2 days as well.
That could contribute to Maroney not getting.
That's why I said
25
no.
plus. Belichick will play Ninkovich more
than.
Than he has been?
More than he has been.
No.
True.
False. Chris says true. He likes that guy, and he's a decent player, though it says a lot that he gets playing time.
I think all of that is right, but I don't know that his reps will increase.
Yeah, I think
plus, he just got a little bit of
a little scratch.
Yeah, he's a 10 or 15 play guy, isn't
right.
he?
A little bonus, a little salary increase. I think they just did that so that they can do it again next year.
No, he signed an extension.
And got a little bit of a raise.
Why
was that audible, Doc? Yeah.
Five, Belichick will keep the defense simple.
Stupid. Yes.
I agree with that.
Yes,
true.
Because it cleared up all the broken plays. And they only had one this week instead of five.
And not only that, but Bill openly acknowledged it.
Right. Yeah.
Which I found somewhat surprising.
I did
today.
Too. Yeah. Even more surprising than Sean Springs telling us.
He tells us it worked against Carolina. It should work against Buffalo.
Except for Brandon Merriweather. It worked against Carolina.
So there you go. A little true false.
That was fun.
Good stuff, Chris.
Let's see. Brent from Illinois says, if you could get Santa to drop off one thing for the Patriots that would help them out the most right now, what would it be? Like a player, coach, or whatever?
Elite pass rusher.
I would agree.
Elite pass rusher?
Sure.
Okay.
Would it be?
I mean, come on.
You want Elvis
Dumervil?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know the answer. That's why I asked. And Eric acted like it was a foregone conclusion.
I think he was making a joke.
Making a joke about myself.
I like Justin Tuck, but, you know.
But that's kind of why I'm asking. Because some of the elite guys, like
don't fall into 69. The category.
69, Minnesota.
Jared Allen.
I don't think would fit.
Well, yeah. if healthy, DeMarcus Ware.
Right.
Yeah. Would fit.
Yeah, he would.
I don't know what his status is this week, but.
DeMarcus Ware, James Harrison.
Think he'd fit.
See, I think Harrison can be shut down.
Okay.
Anybody can be.
He's a system guy.
Well, it's hard because some of the guys that you think would...
What does that mean?
Some of the guys that are good...
I think he takes, you know, the zone blitz and confusion and takes advantage of that. I want a guy that can just straight up beat 90% of the guys he goes up against. That's hard. That's
you
rare.
You think James Harrison does that?
No.
Wow.
I don't.
He doesn't watch him play.
You obviously don't watch him play.
I do watch him play.
Well, the thing is, a lot of the...
I do watch him play.
The putts. A lot of the guys like...
if he's off his cycle, he doesn't have a good game.
You mentioned Dumervil, Paul. A lot of guys like him who are good on other teams might not necessarily...
Well, that's Andy's point about...
Well, that's why I'm saying.
It might not necessarily work
like,
here.
Because a lot of the guys Fred's talking about, Dwight Freeney. They're ends.
Not a fit.
The elite speed guys are ends. So
and I think
that's why I'm asking.
And I think a lot of Freeney.
I do too.
He's a fit in the Patriots.
So that's
system.
Why I kind of pose the question. You know, it's
that's
nice
why
to
I
say.
Like Tuck. He's big. He's fast.
But I don't think he's a linebacker.
Rush, he
I think
play.
He's an end.
No, you're right. I think he's a lineman.
He would be your dream or no?
I would like to get him. Yeah, I would like Santa to drop him off.
Now again, we're playing a lot of 4-man front, so maybe they would. And it would be him instead of Banta Kane.
I could find a way for him. I would play him on the inside on passing downs.
I think I would go with DeMarcus Ware.
I think I'd go with Ware, too.
That's a good one.
No, Eric, you have to go with Peppers.
I cannot say that that's a good pick by him, too.
It's not a good pick.
I can't acknowledge that.
The obvious pick is your guy for you.
What about Jared Allen? He's
what about
got a
Adam
high motor.
Ray? No, you know? He's good. He doesn't have a high motor. He's good. I said it wrong a couple years ago when I thought he was the same guy as Mike Vrabel. He's averaged two sacks per game since. He's good. He doesn't
this
have
is what
a high
you're doing.
High motor is how you describe what's his name? Howie Long's kid. That's Jake why you no longer Chris describe Long. Him at all, because he did have a high motor.
Chris Long, not Jake.
Oh, Jake Long.
Jared
Jake
Allen
Long
is just good. I was wrong. He is good.
All right.
Jake Spielman was right.
Anyway, he said, I also emailed
Jake
so wrong.
Jake Spielman?
Who traded for him?
Rick.
Rick Spielman.
Spielman.
Jake
Steele.
Jake Steele. Rick Spielman.
Whatever. I emailed the show after you guys, Patriots Playbook, which is an odd name seeing that Rook does not really talk about the playbook.
Does he really not talk about football?
commenting that the play calling Erickson, in the second half seems afraid. It seems that they are calling plays that are timid, like they're afraid to make a mistake. What are your thoughts? And I have not been able to listen for a while. Is there still a moratorium on making fun of Eric and his oddities?
No, they just have to be true oddities.
Exactly.
His nose, his baldness, his art.
Right.
His failure to live up to his own and
diminutive
his parents'
status.
Expectations.
All of that. All of that is true.
Andrew's got a tip of his tongue.
Right. He has a dossier on all of us.
Unbelievable.
Right.
No formal artistic training.
Pulls up his sleeve. He's got him tattooed halfway up his arm.
He has like these little crypt sheets. Doc. Oh,
right.
Syracuse.
Right.
Paul. Much better. No, why don't you put another F-bomb on the radio?
Unbelievable.
I think he's going to cry laughing over there. You guys are funny.
He just starts talking faster.
Sean.
What was the question?
Is there a moratorium?
No. There was a real question in there, too.
I forget. I don't know.
It couldn't have been that good.
The real question was, do they get timid calling plays in the second
half? Play calling in the second half. Is it different?
I haven't really noticed. Matter of fact, I think they've been maybe at times overly aggressive in the second half, where I think they should run the ball a little bit.
Maybe they're
more.
Just too predictable, I think, is what I've been hearing.
Yeah,
from,
that's what we hear a lot. I don't buy it, but that's what we hear a lot. You're right. That's the number one criticism is the offense is predictable.
Right.
I think the offense is lacking playmakers.
I hate criticizing the play calling.
We used to make fun of a lot that quote from Cam Cameron, but I've kind of come around to it a little bit. I think the play call is –
The main reason
overrated.
I made fun of Cam Cameron for saying it is because he was hired in Miami as like an offensive genius, mastermind. And he said, really, it's overrated to be that. And I'm thinking, well, then why did I hire you? That's why I criticized him.
I think there have been times where they've been actually a little bit too aggressive in the second half with leads. And situations where I think they could have run the ball and gotten first down. Power up running. Not like let's get in the spread offense and try to trick everybody. Let's put two tight ends on the field and maybe two backs even. And run the ball and get a first down and grind the clock. I don't think they've done enough
of
that in the second half.
As we talked about big plays, you know, it's third and six and we're going for a bomb.
Yeah, that's not predictable.
How about move the chains?
That's not predictable.
You know, on fourth and one, they run a play at the sticks.
That I would say.
On third and six, they go deep.
But, you know, the fourth down call this week would be an indication, an example of what I thought was a predictable call. The fullback dive.
Right.
After they got stopped on it last week, you know that Bill's thinking, I'll show him. It wasn't the play call. We're going to do the same thing again. I could see that.
And he lost a yard this week.
And that got blown up. Absolutely blown up.
Sean says, God, with all the food moving through there, how much do you guys weigh?
Which one of us?
A lot.
We range anything from
everybody but
155 to 255.
Oh, no. You don't weigh 255, Fred.
He was looking at you when he said it.
I know he did. That's why. There's no way. I mean, I weigh more than you.
And Doc actually runs.
How much do you weigh?
I'm not willing to divulge.
Oh, come
that.
On.
217.
No, less than
210.
That. About 210.
I weigh about 210.
Right, so 210. I knew he would do
convenient
that.
Convenient.
1 million.
He would do that.
But Doc actually does both. He once weighed 255. He once weighed 155, and he's moving his way back up.
You're about in between now.
170.
See, it's part of the that was the Doc dossier.
Right, the Doc.
Well, he doesn't have a
doc
dossier.
He what?
He,
does.
He doesn't what?
He doesn't take it well, so I'll leave him out of this.
Andy's head would weigh.
See, with the
size of Andy's head, you'd think he'd weigh more, but it's empty. So.
Uh-huh.
Crickets.
Wow. Well done, Doc. That's
Matt,
why I don't make fun of you.
Matt from Leominster. Fred is the best on the show.
No question.
I put that in so he would read this. The Patriots offense is so easy to stop right now. Moss is an all or nothing receiver. He is pretty much useless on anything from the line of scrimmage until about 20 yards downfield. He can't separate unless it's a slow developing bomb that the offensive line can't handle. Welker does most of his work from 0 to 10 yards, hopefully picking up some yards after catch. This offense doesn't have that mid-range wideout. When was the last time you saw a Pats receiver running a comeback route off a play-action pass about 15 yards downfield? Defenses don't have to defend anyone that can hurt them from all spots on the field. It's either Moss deep or Welker short. The offense, while not record-setting, was much more drive-sustaining back when they were winning championships because they had three guys that could run all the routes, Branch, Givens, and Brown, and work the middle of the field. Why didn't they pay Gaffney again? What the?
Well, did we get all these emails when he left? Because I know as a panel, we were not really all that disappointed.
Nobody said boo.
I can't be a fraud about that. I didn't think that was
nobody said boo.
Losing any sleep over at all.
But I brought this up last week. I think that's a fair criticism. The intermediate passing game is dismal. But is that personnel? Is that also because you have a college offensive coordinator? And Bill always says that the college game is bubble screen, short passes, and bombs. Does that have something to do with it, that his background is in the college game?
I don't know. It's a library book nearly 100 years overdue.
That was in New Bedford.
That's funny.
They didn't make him pay the fine. It was $1,800.
Wow.
That was in New Bedford. I saw that in the
Facts I Ought to Know was the name of the book.
New Bedford Public
Library. They were happy to get it because it was historic. There was all kinds of references and this and I don't know.
I think that's a really good description of the offense right now, though. I do think it's become somewhat easy to defend.
Yeah, I mean, that guy down the seam right now, you know, Welker caught one against Miami.
No, he's talking about a comeback route down the seam.
Comebacks, you know. In-cuts.
In-cuts.
You know, 15-yard out.
And
that little post corner that Givens used to run tremendously in the middle of the field.
We see them from time to time. Matter of fact, we saw a couple on Sunday. One of the ones that went off Moss's hands was one of those dig routes.
Right.
He went down, turned around, went off. It was a little high and... He half-heartedly went after it. But
no, Merrill Hodge said he tried his ass off.
We haven't seen it consistently out of this offense this year, those kinds of routes. And I think you're right. I think they had more drive-sustaining kind of players in the past.
They have more versatile receivers.
Yeah.
Branch had a better ability to get deep. I think Givens could do everything pretty well, nothing great. And Gaffney clearly did everything well. He played every position in this offense. We underrated him a little bit.
I think I
fixated because on the fact that he couldn't catch the ball.
We were comparing him to Moss and Welker, and he was like so far below them. But compared to other third receivers in the league, he's okay.
No, but I think I don't think just comparing them. I think, like Andy said, he had some key drops.
His route running and ability to fit within the offense was better than I thought it was, and I fixated too much on the dropped passes.
I don't necessarily compare him to other third receivers. I compare in this offense, he was more valuable than I thought. I just thought when you have Moss and Welker, the other guy's going to be open and catch passes.
Right.
Well, that's been disproven to me. I was wrong. There's other guys that have been out there, and they haven't caught the ball nearly as often as he did.
Andrew, in the Ukraine, I tried to call, but my internet connection is bad. So here's my question. With all the attention about the coordinator's play calling recently, has anyone considered that there might have been something else Weiss and Cornell contributed that Pease and McDaniels haven't? I think he meant O'Brien. Yeah. Namely, player development. If you compare rounds 1 to 3 of the drafts during their time to those after, you find the only personnel grouping that meets expectations in both time periods are the O-line, which is Skarnecki's responsibility. Other than that, players have either bombed, like Kareem Brown, Chad Jackson, or have shown something and plateaued quickly. Just wanted to see what you thought.
I think that's interesting.
We always fixate on the bad pick, but was the pick not developed the same way?
Because of the coaching.
Right.
You know, we have lost a lot of assistant coaches over the years. And maybe they're not getting the player development, and the one area that you're still continuing to see that is the one area that the guy is still here, in Dante. I never really thought of it that way, but there might be some truth to it. I think Bill would – that's a question for Bill. Only he might be able to know.
Why don't you ask him?
Well.
Yeah. Paulie in L.A. wants to know, how long do we have Wes and Moss signed for?
Moss through next year.
And Welker through 11. More, right?
Is five.
He signed a five-year deal.
He signed a five-year deal, so he would have 11, yeah.
And Zach from Florida wants Doc to find a Family Guy episode where Peter starts to bully people. I'm not sure what episode and season it's from, but in the episode, Peter says, Randy, very funny. I think you need to get that sound bite.
He's actually bullied by a guy named Randy, and I played the clip a little while ago.
I didn't hear it. Play it again.
Randy!
Very
that's
funny.
That's it.
I was waiting for Fred to say that.
It's kind of more of a visual thing. The bully keeps pantsing Peter, and every single time he pantses Peter and yells "nerd," and the rest of the class laughs at Peter, and then
Peter get it
says that.
See what I mean? He can do it for anything. The guy's name is Peter.
So, all right, well, that's fine. Eric, how you feeling about this week? You still off the bandwagon?
Oh, yeah. He closed the door, not on the season, but the dynasty.
Yeah. That's
okay,
that's what
you.
I did.
Just wanted to get you on the record.
Fred's
on the record saying.
Yeah, but I never thought there was a dynasty, so am I off the bandwagon?
What do you mean you never thought there was a dynasty?
He's absolutely telling the truth
consistent.
About that.
I never thought there was a dynasty.
He has high standards.
How
Andy
could you
and
not?
I argued with him for a long time.
I have a higher threshold for a team to become a dynasty.
If they had 1-07, would that have been a dynasty?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, that aside, they're not a dynasty.
No.
That one thing,
that's
that
correct.
One play,
that is correct,
makes them not a dynasty.
That is correct.
He's
that's
also rooting for the Colts crazy. To go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl.
If both teams are 18-0, New Orleans and Indy, who do you root for in the Super Bowl?
Saints.
Thank you. Not Fred.
It's unanimous.
He's rooting for Bill Poley and Peyton Manning and
what's happened to
Indianapolis
you?
Colts.
I didn't like the way the Saints fans were excited about it.
It's the Colts, Fred.
Yeah, we've tried. Don't bring reason to this show.
Ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work.
Don't bring reason to an idiot fight.
Oh, my God.
I said I can't hate the Colts any more than I already do. And if the Saints win.
What did they do?
I'm going to start hating them.
What did the fans do?
The Saints
there?
Were excited
were happy
about being 11-0.
They were happy that they won. Okay.
You're such laughing incentive.
Oh, my God.
You know how I don't like that.
You don't like how fans cheer when their team wins?
Right, yeah.
That's why he likes the Patriots, because their fans never cheer.
Right. Right. That's why he always yells at me about the Patriots fans.
Hey, what was this?
I don't know.
Tony Siragusa, I guess, was making a big stink about the stadium being flat.
Well, the crowd was booing.
No. But besides booing, he was saying...
The crowd or the stadium itself?
No, the crowd. They seemed to be out of it.
There's not a crown on the field. It's
right.
Just flat.
You know, obviously we don't,
I didn't watch.
We don't,
I didn't watch the telecast.
We don't watch the telecast, but maybe one of our listeners can email and tell
I thought he was
what he was
fun
talking
of the,
about.
The fans were booing in the first half.
That's, I thought he was talking about. There's
heard.
No energy. I thought it was something along those lines.
There wasn't a whole lot of reason to for most of that. You know, for most of the first half.
There was nothing to cheer about.
There was nothing
the first
to cheer
half
about
that game.
They were losing and they were playing badly on offense. Second half, they came out, did a little something. The crowd woke up a little bit.
Yeah, and it was with the Welker play. Welker,
yeah,
you know, well,
that
Welker
drive,
won the
that
game.
96-yard
but,
drive.
But, I mean, the play that he got hit and he popped up and he's, you know, exhorting the fans to get into the game.
Yep.
That to me was like, hop on my back, boys. That was that was a seminal moment.
And he did it later in the drive when he got that long pass and slid out of bounds.
Yeah.
That can be the play. Did. If they go on and win the Super Bowl, is that the Brian Cox hit that I'm going to have to see 1,000 times?
Yeah. And don't laugh.
The second most
don't laugh. I might assign you to write that story. How's that sound?
Okay, no.
I'll get your story right here.
We have like 5 minutes left in the show, but that's a good question. If the season ended or if the regular season ended today, they got in the playoffs, they ended up winning the Super Bowl. What would be that moment that will go back with hindsight and say that was the moment where they turned it around?
I think we just said it. So that's my moment.
Yeah.
You guys can pick one if you want. I don't mean to hog the conversation.
I think it would be the off-season coming together of Randy Moss and everyone else on the same page.
Off-season?
Off-season?
I mean the off, you know, out
off,
of...
Off the field?
Off
so
the
you're
field.
Assuming that if they won the Super Bowl, it's going to be Randy Moss catching 12 passes?
Well, I'm assuming if they win the Super Bowl, it's because everyone bought in and they got back on the same page.
Oh, wait. I got to change mine. It'll be when James Sanders returned to the starting
line. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
2-0 as a starter this season, baby.
You know.
You got one?
I
think they were in grave danger of losing that game on Sunday until Welker made that play.
Yeah, I agree.
Grave danger.
I agree. I think it would have to be that play.
Yeah. So you got nothing of your own.
Well, I was going to say,
it was that drive.
My argument was going to be
that drive doesn't happen without that catch.
My argument, if they did that, was going to go back to 4th and 2 in Indy, but they kind of went down after that. I thought they were going to continue to go up after that.
Right.
They went down a little bit further, so there has to be a new moment, and I think that right now that's as good a one as any.
Yeah, I mean, I can't pick something that hasn't happened, like Fred did.
That's right. I'll pick the James Sanders 3 picks for touchdowns in Buffalo.
Okay.
And the third one coming with the Bills on the 1 yard line.
Right. Last play of the game.
Down 6.
99
yards.
He's
like James Harrison going down the sideline in the Super Bowl, tumbling through people.
One play, 99 yards.
Oh, God. Sean says the crowd at Gillette is happy when the Pats are doing well. When the team is doing bad, they're silent. They don't scream all the time. I go to one game a year at Gillette. We are spoiled.
I agree.
Just so you know, getting less spoiled by the week.
says the man who's supposed to get.
And they get quieter.
Yeah. As says the guy who does nothing to help the crowd get fired up. Flames? No.
Yep. Flamethrower?
Fireworks? No.
By the way,
I
offered you a job.
Woman on a horse riding around?
Yeah, Andy. Mascot on a scooter.
I am an idea man. I'm not the mascot on the scooter.
Doug from France.
Besides, the Pat Patriot hat wouldn't fit him.
It's true.
I wouldn't need the.
We wouldn't need a hat.
There you go, Doc.
Put a tricorn on his head, and he'd be Pat Patriot.
I don't want to be Pat Patriot right now.
Doug from France.
Or ever.
I don't know what he's working with. So.
He says Saragusa was talking about the team, and he said he had never seen a team so flat.
Oh. Yeah, they were flat.
They were kind of flat.
They were flat to their own estimation.
Yeah.
Kevin Falk said it. Wes Welker said it.
Mm-hmm. A clarification from the game.
I saw Doc reaching up to get off the shelf. There's like 8 things just fell off the shelf.
There was certainly, I remember, it wasn't just Moss sitting by himself the whole time. At some point, he was sitting next to Kevin Falk.
Look at that stupid thing. Put it on. Just try it. Like we're in England.
It's a tricorn hat with a soccer ball in the middle.
that's why it's not fitting. The headphones.
Oh, my God.
It looks exactly the same.
It does.
When did Kevin Falk sit with Randy Moss on the bench?
I didn't see that.
All right.
Yeah, I saw at one point he was sitting next to
him. Was that after the stuff we're making a big deal out of or before?
Oh. Are you sure that was Falk? Because there was a point when Ben Jarvis was sitting with him.
Well, the...
Yeah, no. This was a close-up on TV I'm talking about, and Falk and Moss were sitting...
Yes.
And kind of in a...
And Ben Jarvis was sitting next to him, too, for a while. Yeah,
but I just didn't know when this occurred, because I was hoping it occurred later rather than sooner, but you're telling me it was sooner rather than later, and that's not good.
When we were in New Orleans, I saw Falk sitting with Randy almost the entire game, every time the defense was on the field.
When he turned that mic on, it's rarely useful.
Wow.
Sorry.
This is another example of how he doesn't make fun of Doc.
Right.
All right.
6 years ago, Falk sat next to Moss.
In his basement is just John kidding. Rook. John, how you doing?
Great, Fred. I'm trying to decide who I would root for if it was Indy or New Orleans. And frankly, I think I would root for the ground to open up and swallow them both.
Wow. Okay.
Not Fred. He's got his Bill Polian fist pumping.
What do you have against the Saints, John?
I don't really have anything against the Saints. I think it would be an entertaining game. Certainly, if both teams were able to, you know, get there 18-0, it would be one for the record books, and I think that's why everybody would watch. Probably one of the most watched games of all time if that would happen.
Yeah.
I would probably root.
I don't think anybody would watch.
No, I would probably root for the Saints just because of their history. You know, rooting for the, you know, being for the underdog
a
little bit.
That's why I would root for them. Well, that and plus I hate Bill Polian, but I would root because it's a new team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would root for the, you know, what
I mean,
I would,
considering everything the city of New Orleans has been through and, you know, the Saints' history of being the Aints and who can forget the bags on the heads.
And if you're a Patriots fan, how can you justify rooting for the Colts?
Right.
Unless it has to do with playoff seeding.
How can you justify rooting against the Saints? That's what I'd say.
I rooted for the Colts against the Bears.
Name one person that's, like, not likable on the Saints, that's hateable.
Maybe
Reggie Bush, is a lightning rod enough.
I don't like
maybe
Chicago,
for John to
so
hate him
since
he went to a school.
I didn't like Rex Grossman, but I still kind of was hoping they would win the game.
I did root for the Colts in full disclosure in that Super Bowl. What was that, 06?
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
I rooted
for Peyton Manning to lose the loser.
Yeah, that was kind of my reasoning. Plus, I really don't like Chicago. But this one, the same. I mean, if they were both undefeated, I mean, I could understand if only one of them were undefeated and you didn't want anybody to go 19-0.
Right.
Then you would automatically root against
them. But Fred wants his rival to go 19.
Yeah, Fred would rather have his rival go 19-0 than a team in the other conference.
All right, Fred. Why?
Well, I just
because they were too happy that they won.
I can't hate the Colts any more than I do. So now if the Saints.
So that means that justifies you rooting for them?
Yeah.
Well,
it's stupid. It is stupid, John. Don't try to make sense of it. It's nonsensical.
There's something about the Saints that is just starting to bother me, and
they kicked your ass.
Well, that. Plus, they were really happy about it, and
they have the audacity to be happy about being 11-0.
And this whole Drew Brees rap before each game, and I don't know. I want them to be disappointed.
He's ours, John. You can't have
He's
him.
Special
All right,
John.
John's coming up next with Patriots Playbook. We have to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, we'll see you.